much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Just so you know, I got this guy, and they're ready to go to work.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Not everything is for everybody, Ralph. You understand that.
But can't some things be for somebody when you're making those decisions? Can't you try to strive for that?
You don't think
this is something, and it may be for somebody, versus, this is nothing, and I'm sure it's for no one. Let's talk about it.
You don't think I hit one person? You don't think there was one person listening who thought, huh, that's interesting?
I don't understand any of you.
Everybody knows what you're talking about.
Okay, you have your brain. Use your brain. Use your damn brain. God gave you a brain. Use it, man. Don't be an idiot.
Don't put me in that loser crowd.
And now,
I wish I'd never cut off my penis. I wish I had never done that.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 6th of September. Hey, who's the new guy?
What's that
voice? Oh, he got it in.
I got to
What's
say
that voice
he...
I'm hearing?
Is this on? This is weird.
Never gets old.
Right?
Right.
Right. And you would be...
Kev Doggy Dog.
Kev Dog.
That's right. I actually saw a Where's Kev Dog hashtag briefly last night on Twitter.
It's like, where's Bass?
That was very funny. Where's Kev Dog? Hey, before I forget, we're going to play the brand new song from U2 as soon as we're done with this nonsense called You're the Best Thing About Me. Brand new U2 this morning. And, of course, we're talking to Bono at 7, but you want to hear this new U2 song from their forthcoming Song of Experience. So that is coming up. First, though, Allie, there was no question in your mind what story we were going to start today's show with once you saw it yesterday.
I had a feeling.
I mean, how could you not, right?
Oh, wow. It has everything.
It has everything, and it appears to check out and being legit. It has been verified with the firefighters that it is what happened, and it has to be one of the weirdest first dates ever.
It's the best.
Kevin, you know the story?
I don't. Hard to imagine.
Oh, you're in for it.
Oh, you're going to love it. See, you're the lucky one. In this case, you are the lucky one because we've already basked in it for 24 hours. This is new to you, so you'll love it. A man named Liam, who is studying postgraduate sociology at Bristol University, put up a Facebook page talking about a date he recently met. He met a young lady on Tinder, and he took her out for dinner, and they had a nice chat. And after the meal, they went back to his house for a bottle of wine and a Scientology documentary. It was an odd note
That's
to put in.
That's a terrible date.
Yeah.
About an hour into it, the date, the girl at his apartment got up to use the toilet, and she returned with a panicked look on her face and said, "I have something to tell you."
Oh, no.
"I went and took a poop in your toilet," she said, "and it would not flush," which, by the way, had to be terrifying for her, especially at a first date in the man's apartment, right?
Right? Because girls don't poop.
Right? Girls don't poop, first of all.
You climb out that bathroom window and you run for your life.
Wait for it.
So interesting you would say that, Kevin.
Really? I was just kidding.
What a good choice.
Maybe even worse than what you're thinking.
God. So I took a poop. It would not flush. I don't know why I did this, she explained, but I panicked. I reached into the toilet bowl, and I pulled it out, wrapped it in tissue paper, and threw it out the window.
Nope.
All right? So we see what she was trying to do is basically cover her tracks so she could pretend it didn't happen. Because what are the chances he's going to find this poop out in the yard, right? I said I was understandably concerned. I told her we'd go outside, we'd bag up the offending poop in the garden, we'd put it in the trash can, we'd pretend that the whole thing had never happened. Unfortunately, owing to a design quirk of my house, the window in the bathroom does not, in fact, open to the outside, but instead into a narrow gap of about a foot and a half separated from the outside world by another non-opening double-glazed window. It was into this twilight zone that my date had thrown her poop. So essentially, there's a giant turd just outside the bathroom window that you can't do anything about.
But just inside an exterior window?
Yes.
That is correct.
So just lodged in there.
Oh,
Just sitting.
Yeah, so you set the house on fire, right?
Well, don't worry. She's got an idea, Kevin.
Okay, all right. She's got a plan, yes. So she was convinced, being an amateur gymnast, he wrote, she was convinced that she could reach into the window and pull the poop out using the tried-and-tested inside-out bag-as-glove technique. Unfortunately, she couldn't reach. She climbed further in, had the same problem. Eventually, I agreed to give her a boost up and into the window. She climbed in head first, reached deeper into the window, bagged it up, passed it out over the top. I put it back into the toilet. Then she called out for me to help her to climb up from the window. I grabbed her waist and I pulled, but she was stuck. Stuck fast.
Oh, my God.
Try as we might, we could not remove her from the window. She was stuck fast upside down in the gap. By the way, if you've ever been to England, the one thing you know is mind the gap, right?
Set it for years.
Don't they tell you that?
They
Every time you get on a tube, right?
Every time.
Unfortunately, at this stage of my date, I could only see one way out of this predicament. She'd been upside down in the window for about 15 minutes at this point. I was starting to worry for her health, so I had to call the fire department. Bristol's finest were on the scene in a matter of minutes. Once they composed themselves after surveying the scene in front of me, they set to work removing my date from the window using all of their special fireman hammers and tools. It took them about 15 minutes. So she's unharmed. She's fine, but the window is completely destroyed by the firemen. She said, look, he said, I'm not complaining about the firemen. They did what they had to do. But the quote is £300 to replace my window. So now he's got a GoFundMe set up to try to repair the broken window. Mm-hmm. Now, you may be, he also says, if the window is not replaced, my landlord will kill me. So you're literally helping to save a life. So he's going to try to raise the money. And if he raises any more than that, he's going to donate it to charity. But here's the interesting thing is, do you go out with this woman again?
Absolutely. You marry her.
Because she's awesome.
She's a good amazing. Time. She turned just a boring night into a really exciting one.
She could have left that there.
Right.
A few days, he's like, what the heck is that? No, she owned up to it and then showed off her gymnast skills. She's limber.
Anything's better than that Scientology documentary, probably, right? But I think if they were laughing about this at the time and at the end of the night they parted as friends, that sounds like a great foundation for a good relationship. They are on the, you know what I mean? Like they're compatible.
Agreed.
If they can get through something like that and not be and find the humor in it, not be so embarrassed that they never want to see each other again.
Yeah, they've gone on a second date, Bean.
Yes, they did. They met for a drink to discuss setting up the GoFundMe account. She's a lovely girl. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I am busy with my dissertation at the moment, but I'd certainly be open to seeing her again. So there you go. That's a great story of first date poop.
Christine says the GoFundMe page has raised 2,010 pounds of the 200-pound goal.
Do you know what the charities are?
I do not.
One supporting firefighters, and another that builds and maintains flushing toilets in developing countries.
toilet twinning, it's called.
They're the best!
He adds that 60% of people worldwide don't have access to a flushing toilet, so it sounds like this
neither does he
should have dated one of them.
Wow.
Amazing. So there you go. That's a story.
I can't believe they went out on a second date.
Really?
No.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, I love it for comedy's sake.
Yeah.
But honestly, like in your own life, would you go out with that person again?
Well, like I said, depending on the mood at the end of the night, if you both thought it was hilarious, I think they're perfect for each other.
Yeah.
All right. But what a story to tell their kids.
Why don't you love love?
Yeah, they're going to tell their kids that story. And then, kids, you'll never believe it.
How do you
Mom
not tell
was
that
upside
story?
Down.
Don't you have the best meat story for the rest of your life? The best first date story ever?
More like meat poo, right?
Right.
Sorry.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
For the record, I'd just like to say you're making a huge mistake.
Dan Soder will join us in studio from Netflix, The Stand-Ups.
He's funny.
It's Wednesday, so we got the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Love that. We have the Bastard in Paradise Report with Ralph and Petros. What's this Ali and Fozzie Bear interview? What went on?
I talked to him yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Was the phone connection great? No.
Waka waka.
Did I think I was being punked by Dave doing a Ray Romano impersonation for a good chunk of it?
Oh, no.
Possibly.
Really? So you didn't even know if it was him?
I wasn't sure. Still not.
You're still not sure.
Is it possible they just have no name? Anybody?
I don't know.
That would be the best.
You just called a number, and whoever picked up, they said, hey, pretend you're Fozzie.
Maybe.
I can't wait.
Yeah, that's going to be good. Matt Money Smith is going to be on the program today. Of course, the play-by-play for the L.A. Chargers as football comes back.
And tomorrow, by the way. Football comes back tomorrow, you guys.
Yeah, it does.
Very exciting. Very exciting. And also, Bean mentioned that we're going to talk to Bono at 7 o'clock this morning.
Kevin.
I'm good.
You sure?
I'm here to make things, make sure things go smoothly.
That's what you're well known for.
He said poorly. Got to talk to Bono at 7 o'clock, but we're going to play the new song in about 3 minutes.
You're the Best Thing About Me is what it's called.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
New U2 music. The album's supposed to be out in December called Songs of Experience, and that is You're the Best Thing About Me. Bono joins us in the 7 o'clock hour this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk some more about that. And what else
what's
going
on? What's the over-under, by the way, on Kevin hanging up on Bono? Do we have a...
95.5?
Anybody laying down any action?
Yeah. Can you just say all? Or...
Sure, 100%.
Okay, yeah.
In fact, the windows are closed. They're not taking any action on this.
There's a parlay in Las Vegas I just got word of on whether Kevin will hang up on Bono or the Jets are more likely to win the Super Bowl. So you pick.
Wow.
So, see how that goes.
Coin flip.
All right. Ralph is here with our first look at the show. It's been on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
It's official. They're an item. Jennifer Lawrence and Darren Aronofsky are officially an item after making their first appearance on the red carpet. Coincidentally, it's for their new film, Mother! Ooh. Exclamation point. They were seen at the Venice Film Festival right before the screening of their film, and they walked the red carpet along with other stars like Michelle Pfeiffer and Javier Bardem. For those of you who are keeping track at home, he is 48 years old, the director, and she is a 26-year-old Oscar winner. So, be a director, I guess, is what the moral of the story is there.
Right.
Right? Mother! Exclamation point.
She's such a good actress.
It's a hot take right there.
Yeah.
You know what? She's good when
she acts. Oscar-winning actress Jennifer Lawrence is good, you're saying.
And pretty, too.
Wow.
And seems so nice and so funny and just all-around good deal.
It's crazy, man. You're going to get us thrown off the air with that kind of controversy, as they say.
There's a lot of positives about J-Law. That's
wow.
All.
That is a very savvy analysis right there.
Well, we've got it. We've got the breaking news.
We've got it, finally.
This morning, it was revealed on Good Morning
America. And now, breaking news, boom!
My bad. I should have waited. This morning on Good Morning America.
And now, a breaking news, boom!
We finally got the latest cast. For season 25 of Dancing with the Stars, here are your dancing stars for season 25.
No! Kelly Clarkson!
Nope, she did not make the cut. Here are your stars. Victoria Arlen. Yes, Victoria Arlen will
Victoria
be dancing.
Arlen
is a great singer.
Now listen, I don't want to get in trouble. I don't want to be this guy. But I'm not familiar with Victoria Arlen.
Right.
But all I can judge her by is her media tag, as they say, that's accompanying her name here on the list.
Mm-hmm.
It says Paralympic swimmer. Paralympic swimmer, okay. Victoria Arlen.
Then we like her and are rooting for her, I guess.
I guess, but how? Who's this? It's a dancing thing, right?
Right.
So what? I'm just saying. What are who? What? It, what is the with the?
We don't know.
If she's, then what?
I mean, I agree with all of those questions.
Right. Okay. This one we had a rumor about beforehand. We heard that he might be joining the cast. And
Bill O'Reilly.
No, not Bill O'Reilly. Terrell Owens. Terrell Owens. Oh. Former NFL wide receiver Terrell Owens will be dancing. With Cheryl Burke. I like that Cheryl Burke, by the way.
Hey, Ralph.
Yeah.
Update on Victoria Arlen.
Thank you.
She had an incredibly rare series of illnesses that paralyzed her. She was locked inside her own body. In a coma, unaware of what was going on, unable to move or communicate. Doctors believe there was little hope of survival. Recovery was unlikely.
Oh, no.
Man.
She fought her way back from that and learned how to walk again. And
wow.
Is apparently a miracle woman.
I feel like she's been through enough.
Let her sit
right?
down.
Let
why
her
make her dance
for a bit?
She won.
Well, then why was she a Paralympic swimmer? Why is she just a regular swimmer?
It says here she, after world-breaking performance at the 2012 Summer Paralympic U.S. Swimming Trials, she qualified for the Summer Paralympics in London as a member of Team USA, won 4 medals, 1 gold, 3 silver, then made the transition from professional athlete to sportscaster and is on ESPN. But she has learned to walk again, so I don't know. I guess whatever her injuries were put her in the Paralympic category.
Sounds like a cheater Paralympic to me. Paralympic cheater.
You think she was faking the whole thing?
Oh, I can't walk. Oh, let me enter in this competition. Gold, 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 gold. Oh, it's a miracle. Look at me. Now I'm walking. Oh, what happened?
Oh, that's such a big lie.
Right? Let's do a little investigation of this woman.
I don't want to point out that she's from Boston.
Oh, so she is a cheater, then.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah.
She's using an Apple Watch to get the signals of the other paralyzed swimmers?
Exactly.
All right. Terrell Owens, as I mentioned.
Bobo.
Right. No, Bobo did not make the list. Sasha Pietrus.
Oh, Sasha is so good. as a barista.
That should be. Do you really think, you think a barista would be on Dancing with
I mean,
the Stars?
Do you know who this person is?
Sasha Pietrus.
Right.
Pietrus.
Right.
Apparently a star of a show called Pretty Little Liars.
Oh. That's legit for some folks.
Is it?
Sure. Yeah. All people right. like that show.
Barbara Corcoran will be dancing.
They're really bringing the names
this
time.
They're bringing all the stars.
I mean, it's really...
These are all the stars.
Shark Tank lady.
She is from Shark Tank.
Hair.
Absolutely. You're right, Allie. Derek Fisher. NBA player Derek Fisher.
Okay, we've heard of him.
Yep.
Huh.
Drew Scott will be dancing.
Property Brothers.
He is one of the Property Brothers. You're right, yeah. Allie. That's disturbing that you know that.
What is the Property Brothers?
Oh, the two brothers that flip houses.
HGTV?
One's a realtor, one's a construction guy. They're twins.
They're twins, but they're so different, Kevin. One guy's all business. The other one's all hard work. They're the Property Brothers.
Like a terrible show.
It's as good or as bad as any of them.
And how do we know which one's dancing if they're identical
twins?
They could cheat
like that swimmer woman. Right. Everybody, this thing's filled with cheaters.
Everybody's going to cheat this time.
I'm going to call the commissioner. I want some complaints about this season. Yeah, the dancing commissioner. Vanessa Lachey. We know who she is.
Okay, all right.
Nick Lachey's wife.
Yeah.
And Vanessa Minnillo, right? Isn't that who she is?
I think it is Minnillo. Good pull.
Yeah. WWE wrestler Nikki Bella. Hey, Nick Lachey's in it too. I just saw this on the list. Nick Lachey.
Oh,
it's going to be husband versus wife.
This doesn't tear them apart.
Oh, I bet they hate each other. YouTube star Lindsay Sterling. Lindsay Sterling will be dancing. You know, YouTube star Lindsay Sterling.
Sure.
You've watched all her YouTubes about creating the perfect
egg.
Yes.
I think
creating the perfect egg. How to make your own egg.
Does she know the barista, Kevin? I think I have heard of her, Ralph.
Kevin, I'm glad he's back.
And I think she plays some sort of classical music, if I remember
she's
correctly.
She's a violinist.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
Violin?
All right. Jordan Fisher.
Derek's son.
How is this Dancing with the Stars?
Jordan Fisher's a huge star.
From
all the singing and acting that he does.
From the world of...
acting and singing.
What has he been in that we might know?
I don't know. I got nothing for it. It says singer and actor here.
Okay.
Oh,
Allie,
well,
a little research?
Mean,
what do you got?
Let's be honest.
Punch it in.
The Secret Life of the American Teenager. He was on Liv and Maddie. Mm-hmm. Supporting
Liv and
roles
Maddie. Liv and Maddie.
On Teen Beach Movie. Teen Beach 2.
Sure.
All the Teen Beach movies.
Teen Beach 2 was so much better.
He was on
Sounds
Broadway
like
in Hamilton.
Kid. Is he a Disney kid?
For a minute.
He was on Hamilton.
Yeah.
That's legit, guys.
That's legit. That's the last thing listed. I feel like maybe you'd lead with that.
Frankie Muniz. Frankie in the Middle.
Oh.
What is he, like 60 now?
He's 60? Yeah. And he's a Paralympic race car driver.
I think he... What?
And Debbie Gibson.
Oh, okay.
80s icon Debbie Gibson, who is so happy because she's the biggest star on this TV show.
No kidding.
Debbie Gibson will also be dancing. So there you go. There's your cast for season 25 of Dancing with the Stars. Late breaking news. Now we know.
Ralph, did you forget?
Jesus.
Jesus canceled.
Do you think they ever get anyone on their wish list for that show?
Of course not.
No.
Every season,
maybe,
they sit...
Maybe
they
like sit, Mr. T. You know what I mean? Like, I would sit down at a conference table and go, let's get Mr. T. They may have thought of that, but...
Right.
I think he turned them down a bunch of times before he said yes.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I know this year, I think they wanted Sean Spicer, and he said no.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Sean Spicer's turning you down, maybe you need to reevaluate.
I'd like to see Donald Trump. He's got plenty of time.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Roger Waters of Pink Floyd is 74 years old today. Comedian Jeff Foxworthy is 59. Actress Rosie Perez turns 53. Idris Elba is 45 years old today. Actress and comedian Lauren Lapkus, very funny lady, is 32. And ladies and gentlemen, from the Cranberries, Dolores O'Riordan.
How much of this do we need?
All.
I mean, if we're honest, we'll be playing it in an hour.
Yeah. She should sing with Imagine Dragons. She could do the thunder and the lightning. She could be a guest on that performance. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Bachelor in Paradise report coming up next hour here on K-Rock. Wednesday means the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices and comedian actor Dan Soder. He's on that Billions show. Allie, you watch Billions?
I don't.
Kevin, you watch Billions?
I don't.
You guys are missing out.
I know.
Awkward if he's listening.
Right?
That's all coming up. Plus a young man named Bono, who's with an up-and-coming band called U2, I want to say. Is that what it's called? U2?
Theater.
He'll be joining us next hour as well here on K-Rock.
First time for the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. You can call us on any topic.
You know, some people ask me why I listen to the Kevin and Bean show. And honestly, I listen to them so I can keep up with all the places that Beer Mug is going to be. Oh. So I can avoid that at all costs. So thank you, Kevin and Bean.
Okay. Mugs was going out at Hot Topic locations when we had the K-Rock sticker promotion going on, but I'm happy to say that it is now safe to go to any Hot Topic location, and there is no danger of running into Mugs because the promotion is over.
That you know of, though.
Ooh,
we don't really know his schedule.
That's true. Well, so I'm sure he was banned from Hot Topic after all the times he showed up there.
Yeah, that's probably true. This next caller left a message. I think he misses the feature, What's Good?
I wanted to call and hate on Bean for giving me all this Eclipse Fever. About a week and a half, almost 2 weeks beyond that point. I just want to say, What's Good? Went down to Madras, saw the eclipse. It was awesome. Glad I got the fever. And found a stray dog in my campsite, did everything in my power to get it back to its owners for, you know, a good week and a half as far as contacting Vets, Humane Society, and all that stuff. And now I have a dog called Moonshadow. So, yeah, whatever happened to What's Good.
So it's somehow because of eclipse fever, it's now my fault that he has a dog?
No, he's saying it's good that he has a dog.
It's good. Oh, he's happy about it. Okay,
yes. I mean, he wasn't necessarily happy about the 6-year lead up into eclipse fever, but he was happy, yes. this next call is about one of the funniest things in my life.
Hey, remember when Bean called that guy his personal lord and savior and then he turned out to be a pedophile? That was pretty funny.
Okay. All right.
That did happen.
We don't know that he was a pedophile, by the way.
He was arrested. A pedophile.
We don't know that he was a pedophile.
He was arrested and in jail.
Putting secret sauce in the ice cream he sold kids.
Right. He did do that. But is that technically a pedophile?
Yeah.
Kevin, careful.
Jessa. My bad. Jessa.
I see what you tried to do there.
Bean did say he was his Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm. I thought we were family.
And
I
then
really did.
He did go to jail.
Well,
for adding secret sauce to ice cream that he was selling to children.
But just in between that time, Bean went to his home.
I did.
Correct?
Watched TV with him.
At his home.
Okay. Yes.
So now an entrepreneur can't give a kid a little added value in his purchase. That's the America you want to live in?
Hey, guys. Podcast listener here. I'm beginning to worry I might have Asperger's because I totally found Bean's story about the bacteria sound super interesting. And now I'm a little nervous and started to wonder if I have it too. But I am going to write a musical the hills are alive with the sound of my butt.
Kevin, I think you were out, but we did a story about a scientist that took cultures of various parts of the body, like a swab from inside your mouth and from under your armpit or whatnot, and then figured out a way to translate that fungus as it grew into sound. So we could actually listen to what the sound of the human body was. And I apparently am the only one who found that study interesting.
Dull.
It was Allie just kept asking why they did it and why it happened and why we were talking about it.
Right.
I thought it was fascinating.
Not interested.
Okay.
God damn it, Bean. How many times do I have to tell you? Fry-yay is never going to happen, okay? Oh. Fry-yay will never be a thing. Now, Saturday, okay, Saturday, I'm down with Saturday.
I mean, seriously, as long as there's breath in my air in my lungs, I will fight this. It will no longer, okay. It will not be called Fry-yay.
All right.
That's not a thing.
It's too late. It's already happening.
It's not happening.
I'm going to attempt to make a dirty word sound beautiful. Moist, 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 discharge.
Oh, sir.
That was just for you, Allie. That's a 1-2 punch right there.
This is a guy who loves Bean Makes His Guess.
Bean Picks Dumb List, yeah. Do, 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 do. Bean Picks Dumb List, yeah. Do, 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 do. Bean is a dick, yeah. Do, 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 do. Just wanna tell ya. Do, 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 do. And now it's time for Bean's Do Dumb List. Dumb.
I'm gonna mark you down as a fan, sir.
Yo, I'm walking down the street and I just saw a party bus. And I happen to be wearing my Kevin Ryder t-shirt. This is a goddamn sign from God, right? All hail Kevin. All hail Kevin. All hail Kevin.
That's a chant I can get behind.
Wow.
No one?
I was just wondering why we don't call Kevin Lammy anymore. You know, I think that that's something we should be bringing back. I know he'd love it.
I don't think he would love it. To be honest, I don't think so.
Why are you speaking for him?
We had a conversation a long time ago about doorstops. And I didn't think they were called doorstops. And then there was some doubt that I even knew what it was or what function it served. And then Bean said that he had named his Stoppy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this call's about.
So, guys, my brother put the doorstop in the front door. And then I remembered how Kevin didn't know what a doorstop was. Anyways, I want to hear that song again that one of the fans made of Kevin not knowing what a doorstop was. Awesome. Love you guys.
I'm just going to say again, this guy forgets that the song was about Bean and not about me.
Okay.
Although I was the idiot in that story.
I miss Stoppy.
What's a doorstop? Why do you call it Stoppy? Do you call your wife Spousy and your mirror Other Bean? What's its function? Does it keep the door closed or open? Are there clues hiding in its name? This guy's in the Hall of Fame. Now the show is going down in flames because I'm so lame.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It is touching.
Call 24 hours a day, 323-520-AFRO, and we're going to talk to Matt Money Smith about the Chargers coming up next.
So tomorrow night, 40-year-old Tom Brady leads the New England Patriots out onto the field in a game against the Chiefs for the kickoff of the 2017-2018 NFL season. Finally, you guys, it's here. It's
finally,
happening.
Yeah. Finally.
For reals.
Feels good.
And this is going to be a very different season for lifelong football fan Matt Money Smith because it's going to be his first as the voice of the Los Angeles Chargers. Of course, you also know him from the Petrus Money Radio Show on AM 570 LA Sports and as a NFL Network correspondent as well. Matt, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you? I didn't realize they swapped him out for an Android.
I can't hear
anything. Do you hear anything?
Oh, I'm hearing Matt and you're not? That's weird.
No, we're not hearing anything. Well, this is odd.
I don't know what's happening.
Money, can you hear us?
Hold on.
We got it.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, there he is.
Kevin's back, guys. Can you tell?
Yeah.
Good?
Hey, Money.
Am I here?
Yes.
Are we good?
Yeah, we're good.
Are we good?
Yeah.
Not a lot has changed at K-Rock since you worked here, Money.
Yeah, right? Except instead of bright lights that you push to turn the phone on, it's just a dial, and the phone still sounds just as bad. Right?
That is true. Well, listen, Matt, we have a bunch of stuff we're going to try to cover in just a few minutes. First of all, how was your preseason experience with the Chargers behind the mic? Did you love it?
No, I hated it, because it's a preseason game, you know, and you've got, instead of 53 guys and really about, 35 of them play, they're responsible for learning 90 people. And that's for each team. And they rotate them in so often that as a play-by-play person, you're trying to stay on top of it while you have receivers that you have not seen in 2 weeks. All of a sudden in game three, boom. Oh, my God, who is number 9? Sam Posey. Oh, God. And it's a touchdown pass.
Do you go to him and say, hey, listen, just tell me who's going to be around when the season starts, because I don't have that kind of time.
Well, and that's the other problem is, you know, because I spent, you know, a decade with you guys, there's, I think, a lot of fans perhaps that are just tuning in to hear what I sound like. Like, hey, this guy's really doing play-by-play, and it's crappy preseason games. And so now I'm being judged on these crappy games. It's like, ah, well, this is appropriate. So I'm excited for Monday night in Denver to get the regular season started, because the Chargers certainly have a ton of exciting storylines that really could be realized right there in that first game.
Now, before we get to the preview of your season and around the NFL, a couple of questions, too. I want to ask one more thing about the preseason, and that is, because we're seeing second and third stringers for most of the game, the preseason records mean nothing. Like, the Raiders lost all four, but that has no impact whatsoever on how good a team they are, right?
Nothing. I know for just from my experience with the Chargers and being with the team and asking all those questions, they pretty much paid attention to something you might be able to measure in terms of regular season success for one half. That was it. Of you know, 8 halves of football, there was one half where they had their offensive line actually running some sets that they will run in the regular season to try to open holes for the running game, and ran some stunts and blitzes with the defense that they were interested to see how.
And you don't mean you don't mean one half per game. You mean one half for the entire preseason?
Yes, 2 quarters. Out of 16,
wow.
They actually did things that maybe they would do in the regular season.
Wow. All right. So, all the analysts come out with their list of who's likely to do what throughout the season, and the Chargers are about in the middle of the pack. Does that seem about right to you, Matt?
Yeah, just because it's very hard to project a team is going to go through a season with 0 injuries, and the Chargers know that better than anyone. They've been the most injured team the last 2 seasons in a row. So pretty much what the people that I talk to and what everybody around the team seems to believe is, well, if the Chargers can somehow manage to do that, they're the best team in the AFC West.
Wow.
Their starts are. The problem is they have, they have depth issues. And when you have guys start to get injured, the guys that are behind them aren't as good as other replacements around the league, and that's where they get themselves into trouble.
Do they get a little bump in that preseason rating because of their play-by-play guy? Like, we got a new play-by-play guy. Matt Money Smith is here, so
that happens.
They said
sure.
that is, you know, they have the wins above replacement,
right?
So this is LWR, loss with replacement. So they're down a half game.
Oh no!
It's unfortunate.
It's not
now
ideal.
In the battle for LA between Rams and Chargers fans, I gotta say the Chargers have an edge for people who want to see football, because, man, what a blessing to be able to see a game at StubHub, right?
It's crazy. It really is. And it was kind of put into perspective for me when I went up to the Rams game in the Coliseum. You know, Chargers and Rams played in week 3, and our booth was so far from the field, I forgot what it looked like in most football stadiums. And then the following Thursday, we went up to San Francisco in Levi Stadium, which is just a massive stadium, and you are so far from the field in the press box. I was like, this is nuts. I mean, when we're in the press box at StubHub Center, which is basically the last row of the lower section, you can actually hear, you know, Philip Rivers calling the audibles.
Yeah,
like,
wow.
That's how close you are when the crowd is being quiet so their offense can operate. And that's just, you know, they're tiny. It's kids in the hall and squishing your head. I mean, that's what it is when you're up in that press box.
We are talking to Matt Money Smith, voice of the LA Chargers here on the Kevin Bean Show. NFL season kicks off tomorrow night. So except for the usual suspects, Matt, your Patriots, your Seahawks, your Falcons, your Steelers, anyone else we should really be potentially prepared for a great season that maybe we don't see coming yet?
Well, and I would say the Buccaneers, just because people get invested in Hard Knocks and they get invested in personalities. And typically Hard Knocks follows crappy teams, because teams that have a shot at winning a Super Bowl want nothing to do with those cameras. It's just too much of a distraction. But when you look at the Bucs, and typically you'll see elite quarterbacks take a pretty big jump in their third year, and most people think that Jameis is going to be an elite quarterback, and he's ready to take that jump, and they have a lot of impressive players around him on the offensive side of the ball, and they're really good at each level of the defense, the line, the linebackers, and in the secondary. So that would be one I would keep an eye on. And also, I think there's some real exciting rookies, particularly in Carolina. Someone that we're familiar with on the West Coast, in Christian McCaffrey, because he did it at Stanford. There's people, you know, that are scouts that say to me, this is someone that could change football, the way that he plays. Just
man,
someone who is so dynamic in so many different facets of the game. The teams will start to look for different types of players. So I think the Panthers are also someone that you could, and here I'm giving you two teams in the Southeast.
Yeah, right.
Carolina and Florida, this is what we want to root for, right?
And, of course, the Cardinals.
And, of course, the Cardinals. Well, I will say this.
LA's other team, the Raiders?
The Raiders have the most, arguably the most exciting offense in the league, save the Green Bay Packers, just because they have Aaron Rodgers. But the problem with the Raiders is defensively. And we know that you're probably going to have at least some semblance of a pass defense. And they just haven't been able to put that together in the secondary. Their secondary has routinely been one of the worst, if not the worst, in the NFL. And, you know, with the rules the way they are, you know, they're just going to have, I mean, look, they could end up being the best watch in football because they're probably going to have to win games 31-28 or, you know, 35-31.
Right.
And that's a hell of a lot of fun to watch. So that's probably what their path is. And rarely do teams that have to take that path to a Super Bowl, they just don't get there. It tightens up in the playoffs and it ends up getting them.
Well, it's so great to hear words like defense and secondary being thrown around, because that means the day we've been waiting for is finally here tomorrow night. So, Matt, we're going to see you Monday night. We're going to be listening to you on the radio Monday night from Denver to kick off the campaign, right?
I got my itinerary yesterday, and the kickoff is at 8:20 p.m. Denver time, and I believe we're supposed to arrive at the facility Tuesday morning. 5 a.m.
All right.
Oh, that does sound glamorous.
All right. Showbiz, huh?
Mesa, that's right. How about me? Rolling with the big boy.
Well, we want to talk to you again in a couple of weeks to hear all the inside dirt on what the plane is like, what it's like traveling with the team on their plane. I bet that's beyond first class, I imagine.
You know what I like to say? I'm going to win all the money. That's all I care about. I don't care what they're playing on that plane. If it's dice, if it's cards, if it's backgammon, if it's sticks, whatever it is, I'm going to win
all the money.
It's
probably sticks.
They're going to hate these bi-week picks.
Well, probably sticks. It's a shame you're only going to be on the plane for 1 week.
All right. Yeah. The voice of the Chargers, you guys, and look for him again, AM 570 LA Sports in the afternoon with our friend Petros Papadakis. Thanks for jumping on, Matt. We appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Bachelor in Paradise Report coming up next hour. Yeah, twice a week, because it's on twice a week on ABC. Plus, we'll talk to Bono and play that new U2 song for you again on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's up?
Yeah, it is when you're Beyonce and you just don't get what you want.
No.
Oh, I don't. Sorry, I thought maybe you had some experience with that.
Nope.
She's going to have to settle with just being a singer and a superstar and an actress and a mom and a wife. She's going to have to stick with that loser hand she's been dealt, because she's been outbid in her quest to own her beloved Houston Rockets. She wanted to own the basketball team, the Houston Rockets.
And she was seriously in the running to buy it?
She was. She was in the lead to buy it. She was the front runner.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I'm sorry, I was just going to say, her husband still is one of the owners of the Brooklyn Nets, too, right?
Yes.
Okay.
They were going to be a two-team family. You know how it is when you and your wife both own basketball teams?
Sure.
You know what that's
that
like?
That I know, yeah.
Well, this family won't enjoy that pleasure, because she, at the last minute, was outbid for those Houston Rockets by the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company mogul.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
I wouldn't kid about Bubba Gump Shrimp. Shrimp chowder, shrimp soup, shrimp sandwich.
Wow.
Shrimp ice cream. Tillman Fertitta is his name. You know Tillman Fertitta.
Sure.
He purchased the team for, what do you think? What do you think the Houston Rockets are going for these days? What's the average price on the Houston Rockets?
Boy, I don't even know how to, I don't know. $400
million. $400
million. I don't know.
Close. $2.2 billion.
Just a little short.
I was a little low.
You would have not come in close to
I see, okay.
The Bubba Gump Shrimp Mogul's.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. But he did go out of her way to wish Beyonce a happy birthday on social media, saying she's one of Houston's all-time greatest. And so he wishes her well, and she apparently is a good loser. So everybody wins.
I'm not sure I'd call her a loser.
She's a loser. She lost out on that $2 billion bargain.
Dave's saying that Jay-Z is no longer a part owner of the Nets either.
Wow.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Started his sports agency, and he had to give that up.
Yeah, Bean.
I didn't know. That's why I asked.
Stop your fake news.
Jay-Z and Beyonce. NBA says no.
Losers!
Yeah.
What a pair of losers they are, right?
They got loser! 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 Loser!
I bet the Rockets were so disappointed, too. They were probably pretty excited about having Beyonce by their team.
Because
then they'd probably be hanging out with Beyonce. She'd be going to a lot of games. Who doesn't want to hang out with Beyonce? It'd be fun.
Plus, if they won a championship, she could put a ring on it.
Oh, my God. Is that the whole point of the story?
I hope so.
He's punching the air, everybody. So proud of himself.
I gotta be honest, Ralph is the only person that I enjoy that kind of humor from.
Yeah.
That's really true. I hate that kind of humor, but for some reason he pulls it off well.
I make you love it. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Roger Waters of the Pink Floyd. Which one's pink, by the way, in that band, you know?
There's the other one.
There's 74 years old today. Comedian Jeff Foxworthy. You know, you might be a redneck if you listen to Jeff Foxworthy. He's awful, right? He's the worst. Right?
Yeah.
He's
terrible.
He's awful.
He's not for me, but I will say that when he did that You Might Be Smarter Than a Fifth Grader show, he was not a host without charm.
It's quite a compliment.
He's probably going to put that on his concert poster.
I'm just saying, he wasn't awful.
59 years old today. Actress Rosie Perez is 53. Idris Elba, the lovely and talented actor, is 45 years old. Actress, comedian Lauren Lapkus is 32. And Dolores O'Riordan.
Folks, it's a real pleasure for me to introduce, in a one-night-only benefit for the Animal Rights Fund, the Cranberries.
Look at the Cranberries.
You got me wrapped around your finger.
Do you have to let it linger? Do you have to? Do you have to? Do you have to let it linger?
46 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of Irish bands, Ralph, we're going to run an idea by you and tell us if you think this is going to work or not. We got Bono on the show in about a half an hour. And we've been fortunate enough here on the Kevin and Bean Show to talk to Bono many times over the years. And we thought, we'll talk to him again, of course. We're excited. We love him.
Of course.
We thought it might be fun to have a U2 fan get the opportunity to, this morning, talk to Bono on the show.
Wow.
So what do you think about us opening up the phone lines right now and trying to get some U2 fans on the line to pitch us a question that they would like to then ask Bono later in the hour?
Oh, that seems ill-advised.
Does it? Because we have some of the same concerns.
And that's why we're all in.
I mean, because the fear is, and we know this from doing the Breakfast With over the years, is that you give the people a chance to talk and the people don't have much to say.
Yeah.
What was your inspiration?
Is this how you're selling this, Bean?
No, what I'm saying is,
it puts the onus on them to come up with a good question.
Come up with a good question.
Don't be lame ass and
that's
come
what
up
I'm
with
saying.
A great question, and you'll maybe talk to Bono if your question is excellent.
Exactly, yes. If you've got a great question and you want to talk to Bono, be part of the interview, we want to give you that opportunity.
What are your influences in music?
So 1-800.
Don't call with that one.
520. We got that one. We're going to handle that one.
Yep. What's your inspiration for songwriting?
520.
Those are both our questions.
1067. We want to hear what you sound like, too. So this is not a text thing. This is going to be a call thing. So call right now.
How do they treat you back in Dublin when you come home?
We'll preview your question and give you a chance to talk to Bono later in the hour here on K-Rock. So Bono joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show in about 20 minutes, right around 7:30 or so. We'll have him on to talk about his new song that we played for you earlier this morning, and we'll play that again, too. You're the Best Thing About Me, just out today. Brand new U2 from their forthcoming Songs of Experience. So we thought it might be fun to give you, the Kevin and Bean listener, an opportunity to talk to the man who sings for U2. You get to ask Bono a question. You be part of the interview.
If
The question's good enough.
If the question's good enough.
Because we got bad questions handled.
Yeah. We do.
On this end. Covered.
It is very likely that your question will be the best question of the interview based on our past experience of doing interviews on this show. Sure. So let's blow through a few and see. Let's get a feel for what we think might sound good and what Bono might like. Let's try Myrna, which is the sexiest name in the world. Southgate Line 2.
That's my favorite
on the Kevin
question, too. Oh, Myrna, hi.
Good morning. Thank you for that.
Well, how could we not? I mean, your name's Myrna. What do you got for Bono if you get the opportunity to speak with him in 20 minutes?
I would love to know if he still rides bicycles.
Come on.
That's a pretty good question.
I love that.
I mean, that almost ended his career, that bicycle accident in New York. So, all right. Well, did they take down your number already, Myrna?
I don't think so.
I'm going to put you back on hold, and they'll take your number, okay?
Okay.
Awesome. Right. Thank you.
Thank you.
I like it. Still ride bicycles.
All right. Would you, by the way, Kevin?
Yes.
I think I would, too.
Yeah.
Let's go to Craig. He's in Yorba Linda Line 5, please. This is one of those deep philosophical questions that I think you might get away with a guy like Bono. You maybe wouldn't get away with it with someone else, though.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Good. Thank you. What would your question be for Bono if you get the chance?
Well, I would take a traditional question and flip it for Bono.
Okay.
Oftentimes, you think, wait, what would you ask God when you get to the pearly gates?
Mm-hmm.
But to flip it for Bono and say, hey, Bono, what do you think God's going to have a question about you when you get to the pearly gates? What's he going to ask you about?
What would God ask Bono is your question. Yep. I thank you for that.
I'm with the thank you for that guy. That ain't happening.
All right. How about Lee and Glendora line one, please? We're soliciting for questions for Bono when we have him on the show in about 20 minutes. Lee, you get a chance to talk to the singer for U2. What do you ask?
Good morning, fellas.
Hi.
I will say that after so many albums, some of the biggest stadiums that they have playing in the world, biggest events, they have conquered pretty much everything. Are there any signs of some retirement? You know, as much as we will hate it, what's left to conquer?
All right, so you're wondering what the motivation is for them to continue going on after 40-plus years.
Yeah, that, and if they're, you know, planning to slow down a bit, just so that they can enjoy perhaps more of their family and their personal lives.
That's not terrible.
It's not a terrible question. Right. I mean, it's a lot of work. When they go out and play these stadium tours, they're on the road for months at a time. And at some point you go, what am I doing it for, right? They certainly don't need the money. Nope. All right. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that, Lee. Might be you as well. All right. We got time for maybe one or two more. Kevin, who do you like?
Let's not do that. Let's not do politics, if you don't mind.
Although Bono is very political, you know. And,
yes.
And I'm sure we'll talk to him about this. I mean, they went back and rewrote a lot of this album after what happened with Brexit in Europe and Donald Trump here. So that might not be a bad question either.
How about Alma? Let's try that.
All right. Let's do Alma.
And Pico Rivera. Hi there.
Hi there. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. If you get a chance to talk to Bono, what question?
My question is, when will his next concert be in California? I'm so due for a concert. I missed the last one.
Oh.
And you don't have access to the internet?
It's very different. Some people, what they like to do is go out to a venue and see the music
live. I mean, she doesn't have access to the internet because that's where you find out where concerts are.
I see.
They tend to put that information right up there on a page so that everybody can kind of see it and know when to buy tickets.
But in Alma's defense, sometimes they don't announce stuff all the time. And
thank you.
Right? You need to ask them. All right.
Get off my phone, Alma. All right. I kind of like Myrna, by the way. I think Myrna and the bike is my favorite. What do you guys think?
I think just to take the heat off of us for asking that question,
right?
Let's make Myrna ask it.
I like it.
Yeah.
In case it goes over poorly, you mean?
Like, screw you. Why would you ask that? It was Myrna.
It wasn't us.
She's the bitch.
Ralph Garman is here. Petros Papadakis is about to join us on the phone as we present once again for you the Bachelor in Paradise Report. Hit it, Steve.
Come join us on this beautiful journey as Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis recap.
It's the Bachelor in Paradise. It's so nice. It's full of spice. It's the Bachelor in Paradise. Ralph and Pete make the sacrifice. Come on and join in on the fun because all these people are so dumb. So Ralph and Pete, what's the deal? Is there anybody you want to kill? The Bachelor in Paradise.
That's right, Ariel.
All I know is my social media feed was filled up with people talking about twins last night.
Oh, the twins. The twins came back last night in a big, bad way. We're getting towards the end of the season where the couples pretty much have been formed and we're heading into the home stretch. I believe next week's episode will be the finale, and then we'll have the post-wrap-up show as well. But because the couples are pretty well established, I think the producers at this point are just starting to throw bombs in there, just throwing hand grenades, just trying to mess some stuff up. And last night, their decision was to send in the twins. You remember the twins, right? Haley and Emily.
I do remember them, yeah.
From Ben's season, where they showed up, and they're identical twins, and they were both trying to date Ben back at the time. And they've been on Bachelor in Paradise before, and they brought them in once again. And the girls have a plan. They're coming in. They've got their eyes set on Derek and Dean, both of which are in relationships, by the way. But they're coming in. They don't care. They've got their eyes set on these men, and women better run scared.
We're coming in to steal some of these women's men. We're like the Mr. Steal Your Man women. Mr. Steal Your Man.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Mr. Steal Your Man woman man.
Hey, Petros.
Hey, guys, is there really any expectation that these twins or the Canadian guy and the Speedo are there to find love or just to mix it up and spice it up?
No, they're the grenades. They're tossing grenades into the Bachelor Paradise.
No one is there to find love.
Are you
Well,
new?
That's not true. We have married couples.
That's true. I think more couples have been formed out of Paradise than have been out of the Bachelor or Bachelorette, quite frankly.
Really?
Yeah. So the twins are there, and Amanda sits them down to give them the lowdown, who's available, who's not, and also the local gossip on some of the other people, like Scallop Fingers. You got to talk about Scallop
what?
Fingers.
Huh?
Oh, Kevin, you missed out on Scallop Fingers.
I'm sorry, what?
Kristen is known as Scallop Fingers
she
around
campus. She eats scallops with her fingers.
Because she eats scallops with her fingers, then she gets smelly scallop fingers and then touches other people, and it bothers them.
Okay.
So Amanda was filling the twins in on Scallop Fingers.
Kristen is scallop fingers.
Oh my God. Scallop fingers? Ew. I don't even think... I want her scallops. Scallops are vegetables, I'd assume.
Oh, sweet spirit.
The twins are like twin Kevins. That's like having twin Kevins in Paradise. They're blonde, just right?
Mm-hmm. Their job is twin.
Right, and they think scallops are vegetables, and Kevin thought kale was
That's
a fish,
true.
Remember?
They are like... They're made for each other.
As soon as I heard that, and before you guys said it, I thought, that's something I would say.
Yeah, now, how do you tell the twins apart? That's the problem in Paradise.
Can you?
I can't tell Haley from Emily. If
no,
they weren't wearing
the
a blue
difference.
And a red shirt a dress last night, there was no way I'd been able to tell them apart.
They have piercings, a bunch of ear piercings. You might be able to count the ear piercings.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
But the twins have some suggestions on how you can differentiate between the two of them. They think there are some distinct differences.
Our noses are different, like our eye shape is different. Like mine are a little more almond. My boobs are a little bit bigger. My butt's a little bit bigger. Our vaginas are different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You would think that twins have the same looking vagina, but they don't.
Who has got the better vagina?
Haley. I'm not going to lie, it's pretty fantastic. But like, whatever, like mine's
but
still
hers
great.
Is still wonderful.
Right, don't get it wrong. Hers is still wonderful, but one of them has the better look. And that's how you can tell them apart, I guess. Hey,
well, I don't know why you guys are expecting these people to have any kind of shame or dignity.
That's the best conversation I've ever heard.
I can't tell you two apart. Could you drop your pants for a second? Because I know one of you has a better-looking vagina.
How did that ever come up, even between the girls?
Because they were talking. Oh, but you mean, like, well, they're twins. They share everything, I'm
right.
sure.
Yeah.
Including hand mirrors, apparently.
Apparently.
Now
Who's
here's
got the bigger boobs and butt? That's the one I like.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell them apart. That's
can't
the
tell.
Problem. Here's the thing. The girls are trying. They've got a date card, right? They're going to go on a double date. Both of the girls are going to pick a fella, and they're all going to go out on a date. But they're having a hard time finding a guy to go with them because most of these guys are paired up. And so they decide to go with Tickle Monster and Jack Stone. Attorney Jack Stone, he'll fight for you.
Okay.
The problem is Jack Stone really likes scallop fingers.
Oh.
And so he gets cold feet. He says, I don't think I can go on this date with these girls because really I'd rather stay here with scallop fingers and spend some time with her.
I like it.
And that does not sit well with the girls. They are hunting for fresh meat, and
right.
they do not like being rejected.
This escalated very quickly.
Oh, very quickly. They are angry.
I am so mad right now. Livid. The name other words for angry. I don't know any more cinnamons.
I don't know any more cinnamons.
No, she didn't.
That's what she said. Yes. She doesn't know. And she doesn't know any other cinnamons.
Let's hear that again.
I don't know any more cinnamons.
Just not any more cinnamons.
I mean,
for angry.
This is the best episode ever.
It was close.
They added the twins, and it was a good thing. But do you notice, Ralph, that Jack Stone's hair is really not the, like, a real shiny, kind of weird, Cy Sperling kind of thing?
It does look like AstroTurf. It has, like, a black AstroTurf vibe to it. Absolutely. When he broke the news to the twins, by the way, they were not happy. And they pretty much dressed him down in front of everyone, which I thought was sort of uncool.
Listen, here's the deal. I asked you out to be nice because you hadn't been on a date. Do you really think I want to go out with a serial killer?
Or do you think that
anybody
was really
involved with scallop fingers?
Wow.
Why is he a serial killer?
I think that they're saying he has sort of a sinister, dark look about him. But
so they were trying to do him a favor is what they were saying.
I was trying to do you a favor, serial killer.
Right.
So they're going dateless. And they say, you know what? F this. That's what they say.
Okay.
We're too good for this.
Right.
The day they showed up, they also quit and left by the end of the day. They were in paradise for one day.
Yeah. Like a millennial intern. It had enough.
Right. I'm not doing that. I'm not getting you coffee.
Somebody asked them to make coffee and a Keurig, and they freaked out.
And they storm off, but please listen to Robbie, who we had here in on the show, with the best parting shot as they flip off the entire cast of Bachelor in Paradise as they're storming away.
It's some. This is a nightmare.
The twins are too good for the.
I'm done. I'm leaving. Legit over this. Everybody here. Woo!
Wait, what?
Steve. But I didn't do anything.
Robbie in the back. But I didn't do anything.
They need to give the twins some sort of spinoff. I don't know what they call it, but they got to make that happen.
I thought the most erroneous statement was the twins are too good for this.
That is true.
Yeah. Clearly, the twins are not too good for anything.
However, the twins are trying to better themselves. Since their last trip to Mexico, they did a little research because they were embarrassed last time about how much they didn't know about Mexico, the Mexican culture.
Oh, this is a great geographical study. This could be written down and taught in our school.
Yes, they did a little research. Now they know a lot more. They're not the ugly American anymore. Here they're imparting some facts about what they know about Mexico.
That Mexico is its own state. It's its own country. And that it's a big country. And that it's not a part of the United States of America. Mexico is on its own island. No, I think it's connected to Florida? No, it's connected to California. The shape of Mexico
is like a boot.
That's Texas. I don't know what the shape of Mexico is. Probably like the shape of a beer.
Yes, Mexico is probably the shape of a beer.
Pacifico or a Corona.
Okay, that's the best conversation I've ever heard.
Yeah. So that's with the twins last night. They were in and out. They went through like a tropical storm more
Nothing
than a hurricane.
Nothing else happened. It was just an hour of the twins.
But you know what? I'll take that every week.
Yeah, it was pretty
Worth
good.
It.
And then it's over next week, thank God, mercifully.
Next week, we wrap it all up. And it looks like in the post-show, when they bring everybody back for the reunion, the twins are still lobbing grenades into the crowd.
All right.
Calling people out on cheating and stuff, so we're going to have a lot more drama.
Did you see they made the twins throw scallops, but not at scallop fingers, but they tried to cut it like they were throwing scallops at scallop fingers? I thought that was bad production.
That was bad production. I didn't buy that either. They're lobbing scallops at people. I didn't buy it.
That was a great report, gentlemen. We'll talk to you next week. Bono next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks, boys.
The Bachelor in Paradise.
We're going to play the brand new U2 song again coming up in just a second. But first, we're going to talk to Bono about it. Bono, welcome back.
Good morning to you.
Where are you today, sir?
I've got my head in the clouds in Midtown Manhattan.
Oh, all righty. How's the tour been going? You been enjoying it?
We've not normally done stuff like this, but we're throwing a birthday party for ourselves for the Joshua Tree album, and we were supposed to do a few dates and end up being like 20, and now it's 40 because nobody wants to go home.
How does that happen? Because I saw you were still on that leg of the tour. I was like, what's going on? How long is this going to last?
I'm really myself a little shocked. I definitely agreed to do 5 or 6 shows.
Okay.
I don't know if you got to see it in the Rose Bowl. We played a couple of nights there.
Yep.
It's a sort of overwhelming thing, and it really, for all of us, kind of people don't want to go home from it. It's a very, very special feeling, and then you know, we've got a new album coming out. And we're saying, like, really? We're going to stay on this tour? And then we'll probably start playing some new songs on it. It doesn't really make sense, but it might be. Do you know what Stockholm Syndrome is?
Sure.
Yeah, so we've That's been it. Kidnapped by the Joshua Tree album. And the good thing is it's made us want to, you know, we have the songs that on the new album have to stand up to that, so that's good.
So the new album, Songs of Experience, comes out December 1st, correct?
Yes, indeed. Yes, okay. Sir.
And the new song is You're the Best Thing About Me. We played it earlier this morning. Tell us about that one.
Oh, what is it to tell, really? It's a, you know, the world is exploding, and I'm writing a song about my girlfriend.
Does your wife know?
Well, she, you know, funny enough, Ali doesn't like to be called my wife. She likes, I mean, I've been going out, she's been my girlfriend for a very, very long time.
Is that right?
But she is actually my wife. Now, I should take offense at this, I know, but I don't. And she likes to be treated like my girlfriend.
That's very sweet.
I'm going to tell you right now, being named Allie as well, I'm pretending you're talking about me this whole time. So keep going.
Allie, that is a perfect cosmic rhyme this
thank
morning.
You. Thank you.
Allie, did you want to tell Bono how much you wept when you saw the show?
I saw the Joshua Tree tour in London, July. And Bono, I'm not going to lie to you. I thought, Allie, you need to stop crying. And then I'd get it together, and then the next song would come, and I would sob again. It's just, Joshua Tree for me is such a Southern California, just such a California-centric album. And just seeing everything up on the screens, it was overwhelming to the point where my friends were videotaping me, making fun of me during the show.
Well, they were doing the right thing.
I see. Allie launches her reality TV show at the Joshua Tree. Okay, get it? I get that.
Yeah. It just 20 hours of me crying watching you guys. But it was moving, and it was beautiful, and I hope you never end this tour, even though you only thought you were doing 5 dates.
Yeah. Well, look, it's overwhelming for us, too. I mean, that's an odd thing, you to walk out and be taken by this music. And, you know, for a singer, you know, there's a moment when, you know, most of the time you spend singing, but when you are being sung, as it were, that's not a pretentious thing to bring up at this hour of the morning. But that's what I live for, is those moments. And that's what the band feel. It's like when you are overwhelmed by the music, that's when you're making, you know, that's when you're making your best work. And it seemed to be going off. I mean, you know, there's still nights where it doesn't work and whatever, but most of the time on stage with this band, it does.
I can't imagine there's still times when it doesn't work.
He's being humble.
You walk off and go, that was below our standards.
No,
that's not.
Look, I can tell you, I'm being inside my own head is on stage is a very odd place to be, and because you've got to sort of step inside the song, but when you step inside them, there are a few frights along the way. There's some psychological repercussions. There's the song on the Joshua Tree called Exit, and there's a character we call the Shadow Man, and that is one filthy. He's just a dirty guy, and I feel like I want to take a bath after him.
I want to take a bath with him, so it's very different.
All right, let me press a pause in this conversation because I know we're up against the clock. Bono has a schedule here, and we promised one of our listeners, Bono, we invited people to call in that are huge U2 fans, and we thought it'd be fun to a K-Rock Kevin and Bean listener this morning to get a chance to talk to you on the air, and we invited Myrna. She had the question that she is going to ask you and give her the opportunity to talk to you, if that's okay with you, Bono.
Yeah, I'd love to speak to you.
Good morning, Myrna.
Hi, good morning, Bono. How are you?
Hey, Myrna, I'm great. Nice to be talking to you.
Nice to talk to you, too. My question to you is, do you still ride bicycles?
Oh, yeah. And I'm very much, I mean, it turns out that, you know, cycling is not like riding a bike. It's not as easy as riding a bike. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just dangerous out there. I didn't know it's dangerous.
I mean, are you paying more attention now?
I don't know if this is breaking news, but Brandon Flowers also came off his bike. I just found that out this week.
Oh, I had not heard that.
Yeah, and I'm just, it's a breaking news, but, you know, he's just ridiculous, talented fella, and I you know, he just, he's okay. He's so good looking. He looks better with the bruises.
You've started a terrible trend, Bono.
You really
have. All right. So the answer to Myrna's question is you're back on the bike. Okay. That's fantastic. Thank you, Myrna.
Thank you, Bono. Love you.
We enjoyed it. All right. We know you are being dragged away. You're the best thing about me is the new song, Bono. Introduce it for us on K-Rock as we say goodbye until we see you again, my friend.
Well, we look at this. You know, what's the point in releasing a U2 album? There's a little better be something to say. And this is one of my most personal songs, but it's kind of comic in its own way. And it's about a dream I had where I woke up and I had destroyed the thing that's most important to me, my relationship. And I was in a puddle. And I told my missus, and she just started laughing at me. She said, great. That is really good. She said, no, a bit of a holiday then. And so the second verse goes, I was crying out, how bad can a good time be? Shooting off my mouth. That's another great thing about me. I have everything, but I feel like nothing at all. And there's no risky thing for a man who's determined to fall. And goes, you're the best thing that ever happened to boy. You're the best thing about me. I'm the kind of trouble that you enjoy. You're the best thing about me. The best things are easy to destroy. If you're the best thing about me, then why am I walking away?
Ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. Wow. A little sting in the tail.
Ladies and gentlemen.
How about that? It's disco.
Brand new U2 introduced by the man who sings it. Bono, we love you, man. Thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show as Nat's brand new.
Wow, Bean.
Remember the Bono times?
I do.
Those were good times.
You mean we talked to him 3 minutes ago?
Remember yes. When he wrote a song about Allie?
His wife, yeah.
Whatever.
You're willing to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is a brand new U2, as Kevin mentioned. You're the best thing about me. The album Songs of Experience should be available on December 1st. A lot of fun. Great talking to Bono. Quick break.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Hey, is Dan Soder here yet, Ralph? Has he arrived?
I have not seen Mr. Soder.
He's a very funny comedian. He's got a Netflix special. We'll talk to Dan coming up after the top of the hour. But he is also the co-star of one of our favorite shows on Showtime called Billions.
Yeah.
So I know you got a lot of questions for him about being one of Axe's guys, right?
Axe's boys.
Right. So
that show makes me sweat. I sit there watching on a couch sweating. It's too much pressure. It's too much pressure.
It is pressure-filled for sure. So Dan Soder joins us after the top of the hour. Ralph's here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
Bye-bye, American assassin. Drove my bullet through your brain and now you're not gonna win.
Oh, my gosh. No.
Right. Oh, Finn.
American Assassin.
Yes. Yeah.
Boy, this looks good.
Sure does.
You know, for a while there, I was looking around at everyone who would listen to me, and I would say, hey, where's Michael Keaton? Remember Michael Keaton? Whatever happened to him? Why is he not making movies anymore?
You said that for 6 or 7 years.
And now you can't stop the guy. He's in every other movie, which I love. He's in this film as well, along with Dylan O'Brien. Story of a hard-bitten professional government killer, and then he's got to take a young kid under his wing, but also deal with his former protege, who is also an assassin out there, killing people all willy-nilly. Looks terrific, this film does. And we've got passes to the premiere of American Assassin. It's happening at the TCL Chinese Theater on September 12th. You will get a pair of passes to that event, plus you will qualify for the grand prize, which is a 4-pack of passes to the premiere at the TCL VIP suite and walk the red carpet with the rest of the stars in the film.
Dude.
Pretty cool.
So that'd be all right.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to go see American Assassin and qualify for this grand prize, why don't you give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five people through with that phone number right now, we'll get a pair of passes to the American Assassin premiere at the Chinese Theater. All right. I bring you sad news, but someone's got to. Nintendo has announced this week that Mario is no longer a plumber.
I'm sorry?
What is...
Mario is no longer a plumber.
What?
No! Mario and Luigi forever have been plumbers.
Mm-hmm. They retired?
No. They didn't retire.
Oh. Change careers? They got fired?
They changed careers.
Oh.
Nintendo's official website says, Mario, here's how the biography reads now. He's all around sporty. Whether it's tennis or baseball, soccer or car racing, Mario does everything cool. As a matter of fact, he almost seems to have worked as a plumber a long time ago.
And that's translated from Japanese?
From the Japanese, yes.
Yes, that's poorly
so
done.
So he's leaving that behind. He's leaving his plumbing behind.
Okay.
And now he's all whatever he is. Just, no,
I don't
he's
think
not,
that's not,
not working.
Right? That's not what anyone's suggesting, Kevin.
Staking some stuff, no, you're saying?
Not that kind of sport.
Right? Now apparently he's just doing all kinds of sports stuff.
Huh.
That's not my Super Mario. Thanks for killing my childhood, Nintendo. Good work.
Oh, no! This is a colossal disaster.
Right? Sharon Osbourne must be the most understanding wife in history,
I
right?
I would Don't say so, think? Yes.
She was talking to the London Telegraph this week in a new interview, and she revealed that, you know, this most recent split where they spent some time apart, she and Ozzy took a break because he was in a relationship with his hairdresser, if you may remember. He was cheating on her with his hairdresser. Well, it turns out that was just one of six different women he was seeing at the time.
Six?
Six.
You said six.
It was the hairdresser. It was also their cook. Two masseuses that were coming in to massage Ozzy on the reg. And, in Sharon's words, some effing Russian teenager.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
So anyone he came in contact
Pretty
with.
Pretty much, yes. But now she says they have a deeper love because they've worked through all that, and he has worked so hard at being a better person for his family. And so now everything's fine, I'm sure.
She is extraordinary.
She's ridiculous.
Hmm. Allie. Those are two words.
What's your word? How would you describe
it? Do you have another word?
Straight up sucka.
Sucka?
Really?
Yes. Wow.
You don't think there's any way he's...
Unless Ozzy is putting it down like no other, get out of there. You're a smart woman that's made so much of herself. Why are you wasting your golden years? Are they her golden years?
I don't know.
Anyway.
I think that's reasonable.
Listen.
Because she loves him.
Who can resist the wit and charm?
That's what I'm saying. What does he have that's keeping you there?
He's putting it down.
No.
According to you.
He's got all that charming... conversation that he just rattles off. He's so glib and articulate.
I don't think we're talking about the same Ozzy.
The masseuse is coming.
Right? Just shuffling his feet, stepping in dog poo. Who needs that?
Yeah, he's a bit of a hot mess.
Just trying to figure out a masseuse comes to the door to, you know, give him a massage or something like that. How does she look at him and go, "Yes, I gotta have me some of that"?
It's Ozzy Osbourne.
And ching. You think everybody's doing something for nothing? Chicks for free?
All right.
I see what you did.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Thanks.
Well, I hope they work it out.
Well, here's some good music news. Husker Du is going to release a new box set.
Yeah! That's so
Kids
soon.
Love them.
Husker Du! It's called Savage Young Du. And it's a 4 LP or 3 CD collection of board tapes, demos, and session masters of things you've never heard before. It's all brand new, never before heard Husker Du.
Now, do we need that?
You need Husker Du.
Okay.
Because, of course, Kevin, you know Husker Du in Denmark means...
The yellow ones.
No. It means do you remember?
Sure.
You don't remember the commercial, the Husker Du game?
No, I don't.
Husker Du in Denmark
means do you remember? No one remembers this.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I remember.
About.
I know exactly.
Goddamn clip.
I know what you're talking about.
Husker Du. In Denmark, Husker Du means do you remember?
Right? Come on. Husker Du, do you remember? And you didn't remember that commercial.
No, I did not.
How ironic.
Husker Du. In Denmark, Husker Du means do you remember?
Yeah, Husker Du.
Won't surprise you, Ralph, that I have every Husker Du record ever made. But I also don't know that I need this.
You'll get it.
They have gone back to the vaults. And
you'll get it.
You know what we always say about the vaults?
What do we always say about the vaults?
There's a reason it was left in the vaults.
Oh, I see.
What we always say. But
you'll get it.
They did a killer cover of the Mary Tyler Moore theme. Do you remember that, Ralph? Do you remember their version of that?
Why are we still talking
right?
about this band?
I thought we were talking
Husker
about
Du. In Denmark, Husker Du means do you remember?
New Husker Du.
It was a game you played with the whole family.
No.
You remember.
No.
You don't. You remember.
No.
Husker Du. In Denmark, Husker Du means do you remember?
Oh, okay, now right? I remember after the 40th
time.
It was
a memory game. It had like chips on top of it, and there was pictures underneath it, and you had to match them.
Oh, memory.
It's like...
The game Memory.
It's Husker Du.
I don't...
And then if
Husker Du. In Denmark, Husker Du means do you remember?
I hate it.
And if you match the pictures, you get to keep the chips that
That's
were on top of it.
The game Memory.
It's Husker Du. In Denmark.
Husker Du. In Denmark, Husker Du means do you remember?
That's right.
Well, it might mean do you remember, but was the name
Can
of the game Memory.
Move on past this.
But Kevin.
But in Husker Du.
Husker Du. In Denmark, Husker Du means do you remember?
I need a vacation.
Yeah, you do. You must be exhausted.
You've been here 3 hours.
Barely.
It's a long show, right, Kevin?
Right.
Today's celebrity birthday is Roger Waters of Pink Floyd is 74 years old today. Comedian Jeff Foxworthy is 59. Rosie Perez is 53. Idris Elba celebrates his 45th birthday. Lauren Lapkus, very talented actress, is 32 years old. And Dolores O'Riordan of Cranberry fame turns 46 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Quick reminder, by the way, Fallout Boy is going to be here in the building at K-Rock tomorrow in the HD Radio Sound Space. If you want to be part of that audience, it'll be streaming around 5 p.m. Stryker will be hosting. You can actually watch the thing or listen to it, but it'd be better to be there in person. So keep on listening. Your chance to win is coming up in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Dan Soder.
Hey, what's up?
You're a very funny comedian, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Dan is an awesome actor. We'll get into that. He is part of a new Netflix special that is out now called The Stand-Ups. And I think we're at the point now, you're one of six comedians that's featured. We're at the point now where America has just said, I don't have an hour for comedy, right?
Yeah. Everyone is too in the Twitter age where they're like, give it to me quick, give it to me now, and get out of my way.
So. How do you end up being on this Netflix thing?
This is a great idea. They took six comics that they loved and they were like, listen, we want to get it out there. We want to get some of your stuff out there. So let's do a half hour.
But we don't love it enough for an hour.
But they came to you and said, hey, be on this thing?
Yeah, I did if we're going to be honest about it, it was definitely a power move to take away people from Comedy Central because four of the six of us just did our specials on Comedy Central.
Interesting.
Within a year and a half. So
it's on.
Yeah, so they basically were kind of like, hey, we're going to take Comedy Central's draft class and give them a half hour. But, you know, they the way they pitched it was a great idea where they're like, listen, you did an hour on Comedy Central. No one saw it unless they because and they're right because Comedy Central airs it. They're an old model. They're in the old appointment television model where they're like, and I love Comedy Central, but they were like, listen, they aired it twice, and one time they aired my hour special. I didn't even know. I'm getting tweets that they're like, hey, your special's on. And you're like, I would have loved to have promoted it. But they kind of came to, you know, I can't speak for the other five that did the stand-ups, but they came to me and they're like, how about you do a new half hour and everyone can see it?
Whenever they want.
Yeah, whenever they want. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, you see the consistency. People can watch it whenever they feel like it. So
yeah. Netflix is the best. Like, how did we survive before there was Netflix?
I don't want to talk about that.
I don't know. When we had a thing called patience and decency. That probably was a big deal.
It's the best network. I mean, I think I'd give up any of the major networks before I give up Netflix.
You say that, and I agree with you somewhat, but then... Mm-hmm. The craziness of I love Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. It was better that you had to wait a week. and it got all built up, mm-hmm. and people had their theories, and there was all that stuff, and there's something about a good show that makes you wait that's yeah. still,
do you,
including Billions.
Do you think that Netflix will ever do that? Will ever go to that?
I don't know how they figure that out in their model. Because
they have done that. Didn't they do that with Chelsea's late night show?
Oh, they did.
They released them every week.
But you know what? It's like a drug dealer that just gives you the whole bag, and then you're like,
right.
next week when you come back, I'm only going to give you gram by gram. And you're like, and I'll be buying from someone else, because you're a sadist.
Dan, you've been doing comedy for 14 years?
Yeah. Started in the desert of Arizona, Tucson.
That's almost Kevin's hometown.
Oh, Tucson sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Am I right?
Oh, God.
I grew up in Phoenix. And
Well, then you know. Yeah. Everyone in Phoenix is like, why would you go to Tucson?
Yeah, Tucson's the worst.
I grabbed a degree, got into comedy, and got the hell out of there.
What was that always the plan, to be a stand-up comedian?
If I could have done it again, I probably would have started right out of high school. But I was raised by a single mom, and she was like, just get a college degree, and then we're good.
Like, what did you get a degree in?
Journalism.
All right.
You know, the thing that doesn't really exist anymore.
Right, so a fake degree, yeah. Good.
I wanted to get it in VCR repair, but they, I was going things that were going to be soon to be outdated.
There must be millions of people out there who have a college degree only because their mom looked at them with that face and said, do it for me, honey.
Yeah, I just watched my mom bust her ass, and she was, and by the way, I had to take loans out. She didn't even, like, help me with college.
What?
She's like, you're going to get a degree, and you're going to pay for it, so... I appreciate the debt she's left me in my mid-30s.
No kidding. Now, you mentioned your mom. Your grandma is still alive and well you filmed your special
because Nana
has become very popular thanks to your Netflix show.
She's great, and she has no clue what Netflix even is.
She
exists on it. No.
Someone will show her.
Listen, no. Here's Someone the best part. Her. I'm the main... communication, so it's got to get through me.
Okay.
I'm the one that's got her ear, and if I don't tell her, then no one knows.
Does Nana know you smoke so much weed?
No.
That would break her heart, right?
Yeah, she found a picture one time of me taking a bong hit when I lived in Alaska. I worked up there, and I had pictures developed, and I left it in my aunt's truck, and she found it, and she didn't know what it was, and that was the closest she ever came. I don't think it would break her heart. I think she would just be like...
I'd like to test that. I'd like to call her.
Can we call Nana?
I'd like to call Nana.
I'd like to
put her on the air, and I'd like to tell her that you smoke weed and see how it goes.
I'm going
to
go with no.
Come on now.
I have to, you know how much, I basically have to keep up this saint. I have to keep up
but
that
you're
I'm,
not a saint. This will make it easier.
No.
This will make your life easier.
But the reason I argue with you about this, Kevin, is it's not going to, I would only do it if I were be able to smoke weed when I visit her.
Mm-hmm.
But that won't happen. Because even if I tell her that I smoke pot, then she would be more aware and watching me. And she'd be like, where are you going?
Search your luggage when you arrive.
Yeah, like a dog, like a German shepherd.
You'd knock on the door and she'd go, you holding?
Yeah. She'd be like, what do you got? You got an eighth? Roll one up. Yeah. That'd be incredible.
Let's call Nana.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That ain't happening. Also, she's at 90 years old. She sleeps like a college sophomore. She sleeps till like... 12:15, and then I call her, and she's like, I don't know. I was up last night. I couldn't really sleep.
Dan Soder is our guest here on the Kevin DeBean Show. The Netflix special that we're talking about, by the way, is available now, and it's called The Stand-Ups, and he is one of six episodes. Let me ask you this quick question before the break. Your friend Doug, what am I looking at?
You're High Benson?
Yeah.
Yes, Doug Benson.
Wow.
I feel like he, because I know you do his show, I feel like he... plans his stand-up around where the legal weed is in America. So he's playing like Seattle a lot. He's playing Denver a lot. I'm wondering if you have the same deal.
Oh, no. I just happen to know a lot of people in the cities that don't have legal weed that can get me illegal weed. I just probably go wherever I can. But Doug's got a massive fan base.
That he does.
Can
just,
he can go wherever he pleases. I'm still picking people up. So I'm just like, I go wherever.
It is hilarious that he can't walk 400 feet without somebody who wants to smoke with Doug Benson.
Yeah, that's what's great, walking right behind Doug Benson. You get a lot of that.
All right, Dan Soder is here. We'll return right after this on K-Rock. Dan Soder, comedian, currently seen in the Netflix special The Stand-Ups, in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. By the way, Dan, speaking of comedy.
Yes.
You know Jim Gaffigan?
Yeah, I mean, not well, but yeah, I do know Jim. I say hello to him when we both live in New York, so I see him
quite
often.
Does he know who you are when...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's not a weird thing where he's like, who's this giant-headed weirdo that's telling me hello?
He's coming in on the show tomorrow. He's a fairly regular guest on the Kevin DeBean Show. We love Jim.
Yeah, hilarious.
That list that came out recently that we talked about on the show of the comedians that make the most money, Allie, what was Gaffigan making? Like $15 million a year or something like that?
Yeah, something ridiculous.
It was so shocking to to me.
I love that.
Yeah.
How
do you make that much money doing comedy?
You should be insanely hilarious for, mm-hmm. you know, 20 years and just consistently funny. I mean, that guy's always been hilarious.
But what are the paydays, though? What I mean, you can only play so many nights.
It's the road money.
I mean, he just gets so much per gig. Bigger and bigger rooms?
Yeah, you start doing, I mean, you know, Gaffigan does theaters now. And you think about that, that's maybe $40 to $60 a ticket. 1,000 people a night, you're in and you're out.
That adds up.
The overhead is it's just you. It's just you don't need a road crew. You don't have a band. It's just you by yourself. Maybe you're a tour manager, and then you're like, all right, and you know, like I said, Jim's been so consistently hilarious that you just make like that kind of money. I Louis was on Howard Stern, and he said to make the same amount of money on the road, he would have to have 10 successful movies back to back to back to back to back. Like,
is that right?
That's the kind of money that Louis's making. And Gaffigan's up in that stratosphere kind of money.
Wow.
And how about a comedian like you, without getting too personal? It's a comfortable living, right?
Yeah, I definitely am. I'm nowhere near Gaffigan, but I'm like a little bit up. I could survive off my stand-up. I could survive off the road, which is a great feeling.
And that's the dream of a comedian, is like just not have to get a quote-unquote straight job, right?
Yeah, that's something that I actively avoid. Every morning I wake up and thank the stars I don't have to go back to waiting tables in Midtown.
Yeah.
So that's kind of...
How did you end up diverging from comedy into acting?
You're
so damn cute. Somebody said we must put you in a movie.
No. I did some auditions, and it's basically like kind of in the comedy scene, people are doing sketches and you start filming stuff. So you start learning how to be in sketches. And then, you know, Amy Schumer, put me on her show before anybody and just kind of one day at the Cellar was like, can you act? And I was like, I think I can. And then she's like, all right, well, let's see. And she put me in a sketch on season 2. I was supposed to be in season 1, but I didn't pay my SAG dues, and so they blocked they blocked me from set. So,
that was a sad realization, wasn't it?
I got a call from Amy that's like, you're an idiot. I was going to put you on my show. And
I'm on TV, so everybody can see it.
Yeah, and she's like, just pay your dues, and you could have been on TV. And I was like, all right. And I was still kind of, I think I just got out of having a day job, so I was like, I don't have that kind of money. And she was like, just pay a little bit and they'll let you on. Then I was like, oh, okay. And then I paid it. And then season 2 came around and she's like, hey, can you be in, she put me in this sketch called The Chick Who Can Hang. And it was, you know, and then she was just consistently great to me in that way. But then the more stuff you do, the more confidence you get. And then I started auditioning. And then, the creators of Billions, Brian Koppelman and David Levine, I've known for 10 years.
Oh, is that right?
I've known for a long time. And they were like, hey, we have this pilot. Can you come in for multiple roles? I went in and they kind of kept me as an understudy for one role. And then they got the guy they wanted. And then they're like, hey, if this turns into a show, we're going to write you a role. And they,
But that was a serious jump from being in an Amy Schumer sketch, though, to play an actual Wall Street guy.
Yeah, I think what helped me was I was a waiter for so long in Midtown waiting on those
D-bags.
Hedge fund D-bags.
Right,
yeah.
Like, I got a lot of like, hey, big guy, can I get another margarita? And you're like, I want to smash your face with my drink tray.
I bet, Dan, and I don't know you at all, but I bet you hate putting on that suit to shoot those scenes.
I mean, I love it because it just reminds me that I'm not on the other end of a yelling hedge fund guy at a taco restaurant. Because I used to get so violently angry with the way, and you can't say anything because you need these guys to tip you. And so they're like, hey, bro, I asked for extra salsa. And are you do you not like your job? Like, it'd be stuff where they, like, question you, and you're like, hey, do you think I'm not a human being that's capable of violence? Do you think I won't find out where your office is and just smoke a half a pack of cigarettes waiting for you to come outside? Like, I'm a psycho. I'm a high plane. I'm from Colorado. We didn't get the proper amount of oxygen. I will wait for you after your job.
There's a lot of waiters and waitresses that are just right there.
Let me tell you right now, most waiting staffs are Michael Douglas and Falling Down at the beginning of the movie. Right. Do not push them. Because they first control your food, but second, most of them have hair trigger tempers.
This is very illuminating conversation.
Yeah.
I'm going to definitely think about that the next time I eat out.
Yeah, they have tempers. They can outdrink any rock band on Earth.
Wow.
Waiters,
saying something.
Waiters can drink.
Right. Okay.
Go to local bar near a restaurant when they're done and walk in and see the wait staff. Just
be amazed.
Half a bottle of Jameson in, just telling you what they really think of the chef.
Before we run out of time, tell me about Damian Lewis, who we love, love, love so much. And he's so incredible as Bobby Axelrod. Is it just an acting class to work opposite that dude?
Yeah, 1,000%. That guy is like a true professional. Like, you walk in and it's the only time, I didn't have a dad around, but it's the only time I've disappointed someone and been like, oh, this is what it feels like when you disappoint your dad. Okay.
Oh, no.
Because I just, in season one, there was a scene that they cut from the finale where I'm like kind of haggling him for a bonus, and I kept screwing the numbers up, and after like two takes, he didn't get mad. He just like sighed and breathed heavy through his nose, and I was like, I never want to screw up again. I'm so sorry.
Oh, no.
Because he is so great, and he's such a true professional, and so is Paul. I haven't worked with Paul Giamatti a lot.
Yeah, I was trying to think if you guys had any scenes
together. We've had two scenes, but Damian is like a guy where you just watch him go, and you're like, oh, this guy is unbelievable. And the whole cast is like that. David Costable, Maggie Siff, Asia Kate Dillon, Kelly O'Coin. There's like everyone that they have.
I feel like I would be scared to death if I were on that show.
Yeah, I'm just learning. I'm just learning, and I shut up, and I just let them talk. I'm not, like, loud. I like tell them dumb stories about coming back from like Tulsa and not getting picked up from the airport, and they're like, "You're a clown," and I'm like, "I am," and then they're like, "We're real actors." I'm like, "I know, I'm just trying to learn, so I'm just gonna shut up." It's unbelievable, and I've heard from people on the cast and crew that not all shows are like this because it's so such a great environment, and really that credit goes to Brian Koppelman and David Levine, who from the top down just have it as like a warm, open, great set where you can screw up, but then it's like if you screw up, you're hurting
Damian.
Yeah, that's the only,
that's, you don't want to do
but
that.
I've heard other stories where directors will scream at you and other stuff, and producers will yell at you, but they're not like that. It's kind of like you kind of want to do good for the people around you.
Well, it's a terrific show. We talk about it a lot during the season because there are a bunch of us here who love it. It's been renewed for the third season.
Yeah, we start next week.
It's on Showtime, kids. It's called Billions. You got to check it out. It is phenomenal. The stand-ups is on Netflix. Look for, I think, your episode six of the
Bachelor.
Yeah, number six, right?
My best friend, Nate Bargatze, leads off, and then I close it out.
Nikki Glaser's one of
hilarious.
Those. Darren Cole, who we had on the show, very funny.
Beth Stelling and Fortune. It's a great lineup.
It's a great lineup. The stand-ups on Netflix. Dan Soder, nice to meet you, man. Thanks
nice
for coming in.
You guys, too. Thanks for having me.
Two things happened on this morning's show that are worth mentioning. One is we played a brand-new song from U2 called You're the Best Thing About Me, just released today. Secondly, we talked to the man who co-wrote and sang the song, Bono. And I think we're going to replay both of those for you coming up between 9 and 9:30. So if you want to hear new U2 and hear our chat with Bono, which was so much fun, you guys.
Yeah.
That's coming up between 9 and 9:30. First, though, Ralph, I'm glad you're in here because it is Wednesday.
Ugh.
And it is time for the Wheel of Animal Voices.
Everybody's excited.
Everyone's excited.
No one is.
Here are the stories on the wheel today. The debarked dogs in Oregon.
Oh, now that's so sad.
That's how they bark now.
The monkey waiters at a Japanese bar.
Right,
Al. Okay?
I had
okay?
juice and then you started.
Yeah, you did.
All right.
You had some juice.
I swallowed it.
The vegetarian grizzly bears.
Not a
well,
thing.
That doesn't make any sense.
They don't exist.
The zoo escaping tapir that got stuck in a pond.
Oh,
I
Bean.
Love him. I love him. Please land on the tape here.
I love him.
He's dead.
Zombie caterpillars that are exploding to their deaths.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Their zombies are already dead.
And the Australian deer that caused unbelievable damage to a funeral home.
Exploding to their deaths?
What happened to
you? Explode to your death?
Well.
What happened to Uncle Jim? Oh, he exploded to his death. What does that even mean?
What happened to
redundant.
The iguana that bit the bicyclist? Is he not on the wheel anymore?
He's not on the wheel.
Didn't you hear he exploded to his death?
Listen,
you can fall to your death, but can you explode to your death?
Listen, the King of Mexico is in charge of this list, and I should just rewrite it every
time.
Yeah,
you should have it translated into English.
All right, let's play the song, right?
No.
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time
kind of rooting for the cape here, but let's see where it lands. Go ahead and spin it. It's a good batch, though.
Right?
Interested in a bunch of them.
And it's the vegetarian grizzly bears.
Yeah!
Come on.
All right. Vegetarian grizzly bears, you guys.
Right?
Which is great news for all the people who come across bears when they're out hiking or something like that, because bears aren't eating people anymore. That's good for us, right?
Grizzly bears have stopped eating salmon in favor of elderberries after being forced to make a choice due to climate change.
How interesting is that? So warming temperatures mean that the berries are ripening earlier than usual at the exact same time as the salmon are swimming through, and the bears are choosing to eat the berries instead.
Like they're just lazy.
Right?
Well, they're there on a vine, and they're like, okay, I'll just do this instead of grabbing a fish.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. It's a lot easier. They also take less energy to break down and cause them to gain weight more quickly. So maybe the bears realize, hey, if I'm just trying to fatten up for the winter, it's faster and easier to do it with the berries than with the fish. But I mean, so many people go to Alaska every year just to watch those bears catch fish. So this is sad.
That's sad for those people.
Right? Sad for those people. They go all the way to Alaska to watch that.
Who are those people?
And then now you're going to be watching bears eating berries. I don't know. It's just not as dramatic. But we asked Dave if there's somebody we could, and I don't know who we have. It could be anyone from the Park Service in Alaska, or it could be a bear expert. I don't have any way of knowing who's on the phone. But let's find out who's joining us on K-Rock right now. Hello there.
Hello?
Hey, it's the Kevin and Bean Show. Who's this, please?
I'm a bear.
Oh, you're a bear.
What?
We're so surprised.
Yes.
So, what's your name?
Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Hello.
Hi, we're just reading a story. Oh. Everything okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
You on the Matterhorn?
What? I'm a bear. That's the noise we make.
Have you stopped?
Okay.
We're reading.
That's how you know I'm okay. Because I'm making bear noises.
Okay, good.
If I start to make, like, cat noises or something, then you can call a professional.
Okay.
Then I have a problem.
Now, is it true that grizzly bears have stopped eating salmon in favor of berries?
Well, some of us have, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I used to be pescatarian.
Oh.
Now I'm strictly lacto-vegetarian over vegetarian.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
How do you know about all that?
Because I'm smarter than the average bear.
Alan!
So, Alan, I guess, I mean, don't you miss fish? I would think that fish would be delicious and something you've eaten your whole life. How do you just turn your back on that?
I don't miss it. And I don't miss all those people who would travel up here every year just to watch me eat it. It was very invasive.
How many people
do that?
To have
my privacy invaded by people staring at me while I'm trying to eat my lunch.
Yeah, that's
it's very rude. And I don't appreciate those people. All those millions of people who would travel to a stream to watch me eat a fish.
It's very common.
Like that's a thing. Like,
Alan, look it up. I'm telling you.
I'm telling you, you're right.
Alan,
millions of people do
millions.
It every year.
Wow, that's shocking.
It's quite the tourist trade going to the stream to watch the bears eat. They have big packages they build around it, entire resorts that are built around the plan. You can go watch a bear eat a fish. That's the thing. Trust me, it's a big deal. It's a very popular getaway.
I feel like you're mocking me.
I'm not. I mock not. Because I am a vegetarian.
Right.
Yes, mock. We're very serious.
I see. Enjoy the elderberries, right?
Yes, and chia seeds and tofu.
Wow.
Buckwheat, hummus, mycoprotein,
really?
Seaweed, amaranth. You name it. I just stink of patchouli and pretense.
Jeez, Alan.
What?
That's
vegetarians are unbearable.
Oh, God.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51.
By the way, I mentioned Jim Gaffigan's coming out on the show tomorrow. I don't think I mentioned who's coming in on Friday. Kevin, are you aware?
I am not.
Adrian Palicki.
All right.
Right?
Can you not be in on that?
Why would you say something like that? She's Tyra on Friday Night Lights.
Right?
I've loved her my whole life now.
Sometimes your love comes off as something else, is all I'm saying.
We're talking about Adrian Palicki here, Ralph.
Yes.
Coming in on the Orville, your boy the Orville show, right?
My boy the Orville?
My boy
is not the Orville.
No, I mean Seth MacFarlane, your boy, his show, the Orville.
Yes,
is Adrian
I worked
Palicki
with Adrian.
Yes,
she's on that show.
So my suggestion is perhaps Bean not be in on that interview.
I think that'd be a great idea.
I'm looking forward very much to
it. So that we can divert away from Creep Town.
There's nothing creepy about it.
Go more towards Coolberg.
Just excited to meet her and excited to have her on the show. So
I don't think I want to go to Coolberg either.
Coolberg. That'll be Friday right here on K-Rock. Hey, well, yeah, we talked to Bono earlier today. You'll hear that interview coming up between 9 and 9:30. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
Well, all everyone's talking about is the Dancing with the Stars cast on season 25.
Right? How'd they get such names?
The big news was released this morning on Good Morning America, and now we know the star-studded cast.
It's got to be a huge day for Google whenever they release their lineup, doesn't it?
Yeah. People are just furiously typing in. Here's, we knew Terrell Owens was going to be on there. No surprise. He is there. So we know that for sure. Then the Lacheys are also participating this year. That would be Nick Lachey of 98 Degrees, formerly married to
Jessica Simpson.
Now married to Vanessa Manillo. She is also participating. So we have the whole Lachey family involved. Nikki Bella. Ooh. From the WWE.
All right. This is a pretty okay lineup so far.
She's soon to be Mrs. John Cena, right?
She sure is.
Yeah.
If she can see him. It's a wrestling joke. I apologize.
So those are the big names.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, you heard me.
Did you say those are the big names?
Then we
I thought you were building up to the big names.
Sasha Pieters. Pietersis. Pietersi.
PLL, right?
Pretty Little Liars.
Right.
PLL.
That's what they call it. That's what people refer to the show.
Paralympic swimmer Victoria Arlen.
Faker.
YouTube star Lindsay Sterling. Stop that. Stop that whole phrase, YouTube star, by the way. So, what, she plays violin on YouTube? Is that what I'm told?
Yes, that is correct.
You go right to hell Dancing with the Stars. Jordan Fisher.
Somebody's job is I play violin on YouTube.
I'm a big YouTube violinist. Are words that no one's ever said. Jordan Fisher.
Jordan Fisher.
Who's a singer and an actor.
Okay.
And in the other room, Christine, associate producer Christine, said, he was great in Grease Live.
Okay.
He played Duty. I said, I bet he did.
All right.
Frankie Muniz.
Now him we know.
We know him from the middle.
Right.
When he used to be Malcolm.
Right.
Have you seen him lately?
No.
He's 31.
Okay.
He doesn't look like Malcolm in the middle anymore.
Okay.
But the good news is he has suffered from a series of mini strokes over the past couple of years.
Oh, no.
So it's reason to tune in to Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Because you might just see him just do a beam.
Hope not. Hope he's okay.
Drew Scott.
Allie was excited about that one.
Property he's Brothers.
One of the Property Brothers. Now, is he constructor or is he...
I never know.
Flipper.
Not sure.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
NBA player Derek Fisher is on the list. What if Derek Fisher's any relation to Jordan Fisher? What? Possible.
Sure.
You don't know. Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank. That should be entertaining because she's, what, 90?
Yes.
So that's a good look.
No.
That's a good look for Dancing with the Stars.
Tops.
And 80s icon Debbie Gibson will be Dancing with the Stars.
Yet that show continues to do really big ratings every year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even with this star caliber, because I thought at the beginning, you know, people might tune in if the stars are big enough. But apparently I don't need that.
Nope.
They're bulletproof.
It's lost on me, but what do I know?
Same.
So those are the big stars you'll find. Here's some sad news. TNT has canceled their drama series Will after just one season.
Oh, no.
I'm going to miss Will.
Right?
Yeah.
Because Kevin, it was about?
Will Smith.
No, it was about William Shakespeare.
His annoying son.
It was about young William Shakespeare. And people didn't tune in for that?
Huh.
I'm stunned. Here's some good news. Screenwriter David Koepp, who is plugging away on the latest Indiana Jones screenplay, has announced that the character of Mutt, played by Shia LaBeouf, will not be included in the story.
Actual cannibals.
we're a little bit closer to something I'd like to see.
But he's a good actor, but he seems like he's potentially a lot of trouble when you.
He was not good in that film.
Oh, was he not?
And the role was not did not work to have him as Indy's son. The plan was to have him be Indiana Jones' son and then pass the torch and have the new adventures of him.
But wasn't that whole movie ruined by the alien craft that took off at
the
end of it?
Well, the alien skulls didn't help us.
Come on.
But Shia will not be returning. So that's good news. And in the wake of Wonder Woman, everyone is scrambling now to get a female superhero on the screen. Now, all of a sudden, it's the in thing to
have works.
A female superhero. And so Millennium Films has just announced their new film, Sheena of the Jungle. Sheena of the Jungle, which is based on an old comic book of the same name, about a female Tarzan who fights crime in the jungle.
When crime goes on in the jungle.
You know.
Oh, you know.
Lions who are jaywalking, things like that. First degree gibbon robbery. You rob a gibbon. Who's going to help a gibbon out when he's been robbed?
That's a good question.
It has been a movie before, by the way. In 1984, there was a movie called Sheena of the Jungle that starred Tanya Roberts. You may remember as one of Charlie's Angels. Also, she was a Bond girl. And so we're going to see a new Sheena of the Jungle.
Ralph, you have an encyclopedic knowledge of comic book characters.
Yes, yes, I do.
Is there a Wonder Woman-like superhero out there that you think would be a great choice for a film?
Well, they're already doing, Marvel's doing Captain Marvel over there, which is a great
film. That
would
have been the one you'd choose after
That's
Wonder Woman.
I pick.
Squirrel Girl, bitches.
Squirrel Girl's on her way. She's going to be on television. Yeah. I always liked Black Canary, who we've seen on Arrow in several different versions. I think she could be in a major motion picture. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good female heroes out there.
Well, they're probably going to make them all now in the wake of Wonder Woman.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Roger Waters of Pink Floyd is 74 years old today. Comedian Jeff Foxworthy is 59. Rosie Perez, the actress, is 53. Lauren Lapkus is 32 years old. Idris Elba celebrates his 45th birthday. And lead singer of The Cranberries.
Dolores, it's a real pleasure for me to introduce, in a one-night-only benefit for the Animal Rights Fund, The Cranberries.
Dolores O'Riordan.
Sorry, I can't keep stuff.
Comes in hot.
It really does.
Dolores O'Riordan, lead singer for The Cranberries, for a one-night-only appearance, is 46 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A man named Liam, who is studying postgraduate sociology at Bristol University, put up a Facebook page talking about a date he recently met. He met a young lady on Tinder, and he took her out for dinner, and they had a nice chat. And after the meal, they went back to his house for a bottle of wine and a Scientology documentary. It's an odd note to
That's
put in.
That's a terrible
in
date.
Yeah. About an hour into it, the date, the girl at his apartment got up to use the toilet, and she returned with a panicked look on her face and said, "I have something to tell you."
Oh, no.
"I went and took a poop in your toilet," she said, "and it would not flush," which, by the way, had to be terrifying for her, especially at a first date in the man's apartment, right?
Right, because girls don't poop.
Right? Girls don't poop, first of all.
You climb out that bathroom window and you run for your life.
Wait for it.
So interesting you would say that, Kevin.
Really? I was just kidding.
What a good choice.
Maybe even worse than what you're thinking.
Oh, God.
"So I took a poop. It would not flush. I don't know why I did this," she explained, "but I panicked. I reached into the toilet bowl, and I pulled it out, wrapped it in tissue paper, and threw it out the window."
Nope.
All right. So we see what she was trying to do is basically cover her tracks so she could pretend it didn't happen. Because what are the chances he's going to find this poop out in the yard, right?
Mm-hmm.
"I said I was understandably concerned. I told her we'd go outside. We'd bag up the offending poop in the garden. We'd put it in the trash can. We'd pretend that the whole thing had never happened. Unfortunately, owing to a design quirk of my house, the window in the bathroom does not, in fact, open to the outside, but instead into a narrow gap of about a foot and a half separated from the outside world by another non-opening double-glazed window. It was into this twilight zone that my date had thrown her poop." So essentially, there's a giant turd just outside the bathroom window that you can't do anything about.
But just inside an exterior window?
Yes.
That is correct.
So just lodged in there.
Oh,
just sitting.
Yes. So you set the house on fire, right?
Well, don't worry. She's got an idea, Kevin.
Okay, all right. She's got a plan, yes. So she was convinced, being an amateur gymnast, he wrote, she was convinced that she could reach into the window and pull the poop out using the tried-and-tested inside-out bag-as-glove technique. Unfortunately, she couldn't reach. She climbed further in, had the same problem. Eventually, I agreed to give her a boost up and into the window. She climbed in head first, reached deeper into the window, bagged it up, passed it out over the top. I put it back into the toilet. Then she called out for me to help her to climb up from the window. I grabbed her waist and I pulled, but she was stuck. Stuck fast.
Oh, my God.
Try as we might, we could not remove her from the window. She was stuck fast upside down in the gap. By the way, if you've ever been to England, the one thing you know is mind the gap, right?
Said it for years.
Don't they tell you that?
They
Every time you get on a tube, right?
Every time.
Unfortunately, at this stage of my date, I could only see one way out of this predicament. She'd been upside down in the window for about 15 minutes at this point. I was starting to worry for her health, so I had to call the fire department. Bristol's finest were on the scene in a matter of minutes. Once they composed themselves after surveying the scene in front of them, they set to work removing my date from the window using all of their special fireman hammers and tools. It took them about 15 minutes. So she's unharmed. She's fine, but the window is completely destroyed by the firemen. She said, look, he said, I'm not complaining about the firemen. They did what they had to do, but the quote is 300 pounds to replace my window. So now he's got a GoFundMe set up to try to repair the broken window. Mm-hmm. He also says, if the window is not replaced, my landlord will kill me. So you're literally helping to save a life. So he's going to try to raise the money. And if he raises any more than that, he's going to donate it to charity. But here's the interesting thing is, do you go out with this woman again?
Absolutely. You marry her.
Because she's awesome.
She's a good amazing. Time.
She turned just a boring night into a really
right?
exciting one.
She could have left that there
right.
a few days. Yep. He's like, what the heck is that? No, she owned up to it and then showed off her gymnast skills. She's anything's, limber.
Anything's better than that Scientology documentary, probably, right? But I think if they were laughing about this at the time and at the end of the night they parted as friends, that sounds like a great foundation for a good relationship. They are on the, you know what I mean? Like they're compatible.
Agreed.
If they can get through something like that and not be and find the humor in it, not be so embarrassed that they never want to see each other again.
Yeah, they've gone on a second date, Bean.
Yes, they did. They met for a drink to discuss setting up the GoFundMe account. She's a lovely girl. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I am busy with my dissertation at the moment, but I'd certainly be open to seeing her again. So there you go. That's a great story of first date poop.
Christine says the GoFundMe page has raised 2,010 pounds of the 200-pound goal.
Do you know what the charities are?
I do not.
One supporting firefighters, and another that builds and maintains flushing toilets in developing countries.
toilet twinning, it's called.
They're the best!
He adds that 60% of people worldwide don't have access to a flushing toilet. So it sounds like this
neither does he.
Should have dated one of them.
Wow.
Amazing. So there you go. That's a story.
I can't believe they went out on a second date.
Really?
No.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, I love it for comedy's sake.
Yeah.
But honestly, like in your own life, would you go out with that person again?
Well, like I said, depending on the mood at the end of the night, if you both thought it was hilarious, I think they're perfect for each other.
Yeah.
All right. But what a story to tell their kids.
Why don't you love?
Yeah, they're going to tell their kids that story. And then, kids, you'll never believe it.
How do you
not
tell that story?
Mom was upside down.
Don't you have the best meat story for the rest of your life? The best first date story ever?
More like meat poo, right?
Right.
Sorry. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
You like saying that a lot.
What?
You like
I mean, that happens occasionally.
You like coming out of songs sometimes, saying that all the time.
Sometimes that happens.
Sometimes it does.
Occasionally.
Even when it's not supposed to, it happens.
Sometimes it happens when it's not supposed to.
Look, he's a new guy.
Right?
He's a little rusty. He's going to learn.
It's going to be a sea legs.
It's going to be fine. Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday morning. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
I'm just saying Twin Peaks, best show of the year.
I did hear that the second to last show was the best television show in the history of TV.
So, so, so good.
And then I turn to Bean.
Across the bottom.
And I say, did you agree?
Couldn't have been worse.
Look.
Worst show ever.
Here's my whole thing. There were moments of greatness.
It was all
but
great.
They were really few and far between, and there were so many ponderous minute after minute after minute where nothing happens, and it's just looking at a dark screen, and it just was
boring.
I wish you were few and far between.
That 18 hours of Twin Peaks might have been an excellent 9 hours of Twin Peaks. Everything was...
You're saying 50 it's the...
You're saying 50% longer than it should have. Almost everything that happened in that show. Almost every scene in that show was 50% longer than it needed to be.
Look, Bean has no time for anyone or anything. That's the problem.
That's very true.
You know when he's talking to somebody on the phone, they're trying to tell a story?
Yeah.
Ring, ring, the phone starts to ring. He just has no time.
In his defense, he gives him about 2.5 seconds.
Bean has no time for anybody's shenanigans.
It's not that.
And
it's
Lynch just, is all shenanigans.
He's all shenanigans. Yeah. It's just, let me give you just one example,
Bean, stop watching.
Right, you should have stopped after hour two when you were miserable.
But here's what I'm talking about.
You got miserable, and every week you'd say how miserable you were, and then you'd keep watching.
Tell me if I'm wrong. This is a very, very typical scene on Twin Peaks. Is two people will be sitting there in a diner, and they'll be having a conversation, and then they'll stop talking. And then it'll take another 60 seconds for the camera to get off those people who are just sitting at the table not saying anything.
Yes.
And it moves on to something else.
Yes.
What I'm saying is you trim that right there.
That is...
And you go from where they finish talking about the thing, and then you move on to the next
scene. I feel like either you like David Lynch or you don't, and that's David Lynch.
So don't watch it.
I love David Lynch.
He is replicating life and then also leaving you with a sense of what's happening in that world that isn't spoken, that isn't necessarily depicted for you or acted out. He just makes you live in that world and pick up that vibe, that situation that's going on, that sort of deep unrest, that uneasiness you get from staring too long at someone or lingering too long in a moment. That's all part of the feeling of the whole piece.
Bean, does someone have a gun to your head and force you to watch that?
No, I watch it because I'm a huge David Lynch fan.
After week five, when you were complaining, maybe does it cross your mind? Maybe I won't tune in to week six. Did it ever strike you out of the 18 weeks it was on?
I would not abandon David Lynch. I love him.
You're just going to watch each episode and then come in and complain.
And be miserable, yes. But I will tell you that in no way could I ever...
Trump's had enough of you, right?
In no way could I ever have imagined, Ralph, that we would get 16 goddamn episodes of Dougie, maybe the worst character in the history of television.
Dougie was spectacular.
Bean, I'm going to give you a little hint here. Stop watching that show.
It's too late. It's already
done.
And
you'll be fine.
Dougie was one of Kyle MacLachlan's alter egos, Kevin. There were three Agent Coopers, right?
Right.
He was one of them. But he was a dummy. And
he wasn't a dummy.
He was a dummy.
No, he wasn't a dummy. The stuff that was Agent Cooper, Dale Cooper, was kept from that incarnation. He was he was a void. He was empty. He was an empty shell of a person who had no idea how to operate in the world.
Exactly.
You should totally relate to that.
So, Kevin, every episode, people literally have to steer him in and out of doors or in and out of cars, and they have to help him do everything. He can't get dressed by himself. He can't eat. He can't do anything. Oh, and the only words he can say are the last word of whatever somebody else says to him. So somebody will say, hey, let's go to the park. And he'll say, park. And that went on for hour after hour after hour.
And yet everyone around him acted as if that was just life as
it was infuriating.
As norm.
That sounds... I didn't see it. It sounds like typical David Lynch.
It was very typical.
That's what he does.
Dougie needs to be put in the ground, and David Lynch needs a vacation. I'm glad it's over, and now they're talking about bringing it back, so I got to go through the whole thing again.
No, you don't. Just don't watch.
I can't not watch, you guys.
What's wrong with you? If you can't not watch, then you can't not complain.
Oh, you can watch and complain. It was ponderous.
Sit down.
There must have been times where you thought, what am I looking at for 5 minutes of a guy driving down a dark highway?
That's mood. That's essence. That's the guts of the piece.
That's David Lynch.
Yeah.
Just you never got bored not one time, Ralph?
No.
All right. Look, everything, what have we learned on this show? Everything is not for everybody.
Right. So it isn't for you.
Okay, maybe.
Accept that.
But I wouldn't subject myself to something if I wasn't enjoying it.
You know. You come to work every day.
Well, I have to. But not voluntarily.
Hope springs eternal, Ralph. You keep thinking, all right, but the next episode... That was going to be great.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
Now, how do we get on this topic? Why are we talking about Twin Peaks? I don't even remember.
I don't know.
How did it come up?
We were talking off the air about something, and then the mics went live, and we just jumped into it.
All right. Well, I think the song's ending now. We're getting ready to go on the air for real.
No, we're on the air. We've been on the air since.
That's unfortunate for everybody.
Aaron Carter's kind of a mess. He was the guy who got popped outside the AutoZone or whatever for drunk driving.
Right.
Remember this former boy bander, teen star? Now, apparently, he was in a really bad car accident in St. Petersburg, Florida. He maybe shouldn't drive.
Right.
Happened on Monday night. And he tweeted this tweet where he said, "Life is really so precious. I just got into a terrible accident and completely totaled my BMW M4. I never meant to get into an accident as severe as this. I ran into people before, and honestly, nothing compares to what happened today." Really? You didn't intend to get into this accident as severe as it was?
In contrast to the rest of us who go out and plan it
that
way?
Did you want to get into just a minor fender bender? Was that your goal today, you dumbass?
That's a weird comment.
He's the worst. I need him to end.
I'm glad we know what car he drives, though.
Right?
Make and model.
He did throw that right in.
Come on.
Humble brag his accident with a BMW M4 reference. Maybe he's trying to get another one. Maybe he's an influencer. In the biz.
He got so much love. The first time we heard of Aaron Carter in years when he came out as bisexual last month, remember?
Yeah.
And,
anorexic. He was an anorexic bisexual.
So now maybe he realizes, I put something on social media. People love me and talk about
sympathy.
Me. Yeah.
Hangnail. He's just going to start listing ailments. Stop it. Have you seen the photo that was released yesterday by Entertainment Weekly of Rami Malek?
No. Yes.
From Mr. Robot as Freddie Mercury in this upcoming biopic.
No.
It's uncanny. It's a particularly flattering angle. It seems to be a concert scene where Freddie Mercury is performing. And it's Rami Malek with the mic stand and the microphone in the quintessential sort of wife beater t-shirt and stuff that he used to wear. And it's remarkable.
Wow.
The
That's him?
Yeah.
That's, wow.
Yeah.
That's Freddie Mercury.
Isn't that a remarkable
resemblance?
Yeah, pretty cool. Here he is now. Here's performing.
Nailed it.
Pipes are kind of gone, though, huh?
He's not a singer. They'll probably use the original tracks, I'm guessing, when they edit.
Different pipes.
Yeah.
Butt pipes.
That was insinuating.
Oh, did
we
know
sort of
that?
Knew what
okay.
Kevin was referring to.
We needed to hammer that
Thanks.
One home.
Thanks for clearing this up for us, Allie.
Fire must cleanse us.
A listener wrote in and told me that he didn't think Kevin would know what Husker Du meant in Denmark if I asked him right now.
Oh, meaning I wasn't paying attention earlier this morning?
Yes. Do you know what? What the Danish phrase Husker Du means.
It means that you don't remember anything.
Actually, means
Husker Du. In Denmark, Husker Du means do you remember?
Do you remember?
Okay.
The phrase, do you remember?
That's a win.
It doesn't mean you don't remember.
He just said that's a win.
Yeah,
that's
the question is, do you remember?
I'm putting that down as a win.
No, it's not a win.
I'm saying I knew I remembered.
But I think we played that clip about 100 times in the Showbiz Beat, and someone wrote me and said, if you ask Kevin in the last Showbiz of the day what Husker Du means, I guarantee you he won't
I
know
nailed
what
it.
Is. You didn't nail it at all.
I'm putting it down as a win.
You barely grazed
that's
it.
That's right in the win column.
You nicked it, maybe.
Ralph, let's play Does Kevin Know tomorrow.
All right.
God, I missed that game.
Husker Du in Denmark means, do you remember?
Do you remember?
That's a question, right? You don't remember. It's very different.
Close
one's
enough.
A statement, one's a question.
Close enough.
The exact opposite.
That's
of
a win.
That's not what it means.
Going right in the win column.
Well, you have a pretty sloppy win column.
Yeah, I have to, don't I?
Yeah, I guess you do. Today's celebrity birthdays. Roger Waters is 74 years old today. Comedian Jeff Foxworthy is 59. Rosie Perez is 53. Idris Elba celebrates his 45th birthday today. Lauren Lapkus is 32. And the Cranberry singer Dolores O'Riordan.
Folks, it's a real pleasure for me to introduce, in a one-night-only benefit for the Animal Rights Fund, the Cranberries.
I remember on the set of Charmed when we did that
scene.
That was Ralph introducing.
How disappointed everyone was that the Cranberries were playing something off their latest album or whatever, whether it was like not anything anyone had heard. We all looked at you, really? This is the one they're going to do?
Yeah, I suppose. It was about night, the full moon there about night, and it should be bright out, and that's again, you wake up in the mornings
exactly.
About night, sure.
What are you going to do?
Got a point.
Your sheep are gone. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for that info, Bean.
Oh, come on.
Come on, Bean.
I mean, and wow. Allie.
Oh, dear.
Thanks for that info, Bean and Allie.
Bean and she, Bean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning, we also get an in-studio visit from Jim Gaffigan, one of the best comedians working today. We talked to Jim Rome about sports, and we got Dr. Drew as well tomorrow morning.